All right, before we get started, we got a full house. Everybody that wants to speak will get a chance to speak. If you oppose one of the special exemptions, raise your hand. We'll bring you to the podium. Please don't disturb. But like I said, if you got something to say, you have a chance to speak at the end of the meeting.
Mr. Mark?
Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we ask to forgive you what we call short, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight as we make decisions for the county to make a better place to live. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If I get the call from y'all, I ain't got the flu and COVID and all that, but I do have my sinuses draining, so I'm going to be eating these cough drops like candy, so just bear with me. Need approval of the minutes for the regular meeting, March the 21st.
Motion.
Mr. Osteen. Second. Mr. Wood, all in favor. Vouchers.
Motion.
Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Any officers, officer here would like to speak. Motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Mr. Osteen. Second. Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. We have a petition by Wood House, located on a property described as follows: Dickey County Parcel 19, 13, 12, 29, 4, 0002, 21, 287 Southeast 249 Street, Old Town, Florida 32680, to request a variance for the reduction of side setbacks. 12.3 variance procedures. This was tabled from 3-7.
All right, this is the one we tabled, and you bet down there.
I did. I met the owner.
This way, you want to come up here also?
Sure.
Leon.
Well, I met with the owner. I also met with two neighbors who were in opposition to it. I met with the company that was building the boathouse, and the opposition that the neighbors had, it's a little corner. He they have no argument on it. The adjacent neighbor, this only impacts one neighbor. It's going to be the south side, and they have a variance to reduce down to 5 feet for a floating boat dock, which is what caused his variance to have to restructure his boat shed.
But the neighbors, after the meeting, that neighbors understood everything.
Yeah, so the neighbor across the canal who had opposition to it, there's no permits to be located on his boat shelter, and he's extending into the canal 31 feet. But he wants to deny him the 16 feet, and he's legally allowed to go 18.
Okay.
And so we explained to him, should this become an issue, then he could potentially have to move his boat shed out of the way.
Yeah. I remember a board meeting we had like that one time before on some opposition. But, okay, so that's why we table things, honestly, at the end of the day. We can do some homework and find out where we're at legally. So, legally, I don't see nothing wrong with it, so motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Petition by Timothy Renfro, located on the property described as follows. It's county parcel 19-1412-2994-0002-1970-111 Southeast 241 Street, Fulton, Florida, 32680 to request a variance for the reduction of side setbacks from 10 feet down to 0 feet to replace an existing dock by the petition dated 12-8-2023, which is located in section 4.3.7 ESA subparagraph 1 of the county land development regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures. This was tabled from 11-24, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch. I went there and done a site visit to understand this more in depth. The property turns at an angle and comes back into the neighbor's. We emailed you a picture of that. It's an interesting, the argument on it would be an irregular shaped lot. That would be the argument on it. And once you see it in person, it makes better sense. On paper, it looks like, hey, they can slide it over, but they can't.
What about opposition on that one?
We had none.
Anybody here opposing that? Anybody on the phone? Have y'all heard anything on this?
I haven't. Got a motion, Mr. Second. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Petition by Bruce Cook, David James, requesting a special exception being granted as provided in 4.3 special exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning, in accordance with the petition dated 3-8-2024. To be located on the property as described as follows. This county parcel number 30-08-14-68-89-00-00-180-2857 Northeast 709th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680. It was tabled from 3-18-24, Commission District 1, Mr. Dewey Stevenson.
First off, I want to apologize for my tardiness. Just running for sheriff and county commissioner at the same time. It's tough all the time. That deal there, I went to check, the one that was complaining was about flooding on that property. It's underwater. It has been since that date. And I'm going to table it again. I guess we're going to kick the can. But it's underwater, and I can't, at this point, you know, determine if what that guy's doing is going to cause the other guy flooding issues or whatever. So he's going to have to wait another couple of weeks and see if the river will go down where I can do more assessment on that piece of property.
So leave it tabled.
Just a couple of weeks, so you want to set a date for that?
I'm going to try to do something. Well, that's going to depend on the river at this point. Well, I mean, the issue that was brought up was due to flooding, and you can't determine it if it's all underwater.
I'm just letting you know that's what I'm
saying. I'm going to pick to Wednesday if no more rain at this point.
Might as well set it out for a month, at least.
I've been in contact with the property owner today and talking to him. But anyway, until I can get it and make a firm decision on what's going on, I'm going to keep tabling it until the water goes down, however long that takes.
Just bring it back up the next morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Petition by Brian Mixon, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5, special exception for the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA Land District, in accordance with a petition dated 3-28-2024, to be located on the property as described as follows, parcel 04-10-10-04-23-00-00-02-20-3350 Southwest 661 Street, Steenhatchee, Florida, 32648. Mr. David Houston.
I have had several phone calls in opposition as well. Are y'all here now, Mr. Newsom?
I haven't heard anything.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to deny. I've had four or five citizens down there complaining and they don't want RV done.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, to deny. Second, Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
A petition by Gregory T-S-C-H-O-E-N, requesting a special exception be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with the petition dated 2-14-2024, to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County, parcel number 35913-4498-000-0010-828 Northeast 312th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680. That's Mr. Daniel Wood, District 2.
Any opposition?
We have had none.
Any on the phone?
No.
Anybody here? I called Mr. Gregory and visited the property, and he has a solid plan, and I don't see any reason why not make
motion to approve it.
A motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. I think Hatch beat you to it. All in favor?
Aye. Petition by Lynn, P-A-L-I-S-A-N-O, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, special exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to prevent one recreational in the agricultural zone district, with a petition dated 2-15-2024, to be located in the property as follows: Dixie County parcel number 03101345150000560 Northeast 249 Avenue, Old Town, Florida 32780. Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel.
That's great. Miss Lynn on the phone as well. Visit it and like I said. Solid plan. Is any opposition? Anybody here? Any on the phone?
Don't hurt anything?
Nope.
Motion to approve.
So motion, Mr. Wood, to approve?
Second.
Second, Ms. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Petition by Thomas and Darlene Fisher, requesting a special exemption to the grant as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 3-26-2024, to be located on the property as described as follows: Dixie County parcel number 1-10-13-4512-0000-0020, 56 Northeast 743rd Street, Old Town, Florida, 52680. Commission District 2, Mr. Vanderwerf.
Any opposition? Anyone here? Anybody on the phone?
Same thing. Called, went by there. They have a good plan, so I'll make a motion to approve it.
Motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion go back to the board.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
A resolution 2024-11.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-15.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor?
Aye.
Resolution
2024-31.
Motion.
Is that the one that's tabled?
No.
We've got a motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-32.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Resolution 2024-33.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Senior moment.
Gentlemen, it is my turn. We have two ordinances to carry out tonight. One of them will be the second reading, which will be 2403. The second will be 2404. Y'all be happy to know that I am not reading 2004 in full. I did find this
a loophole.
So I'm going to read it by title also, and I'll explain to y'all what the changes were.
And
that saves the judgment right here. That saves the power that's in my
That means you don't get to skip no more meetings, Jamie.
I'm not sorry.
We have it to read it to you. Can't read it. Okay. On Ordinance 2024-03, it's an ordinance in Dixon County, Florida, providing that the Dixon County Code be amended by amending Ordinance Number 0705, setting the risk categories in Dixon County, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of all ordinances inconsistent herewith, and providing for the incorporation into Dixon County Code of Ordinance and providing that the state. The gentleman on this one, y'all will need to vote tonight.
Whether to approve or deny
this ordinance.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Second. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. Discussion. All in favor? Aye.
I'll report that as a 5-0, gentlemen. All right. The next one
is one that y'all have heard me read to y'all before. We had a small change in it.
Like, I'll read you the title, and then I'll tell you about the changes in the ordinance. An ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners, the Dixon County, Florida, repealing and replacing in its entirety Ordinance Number
202306.
Further repealing any language in conflict with
this ordinance and repealing said ordinance with
Ordinance 202404,
providing for boundaries,
definitions, objects, and purposes of the district,
governing bodies, organization of governing bodies, powers of the board, collection of rates and charges, connection with sewer
and water systems,
audit, severability, and providing an effective date. Now, gentlemen, this
is your Suwannee Water and Sewage Board ordinance that we brought back around the end of the year.
They have come
to us.
We appointed
a new
member,
as y'all were well aware, last board
meeting. But they changed the seats. And on page 5 of this, this would be in Section 5 under the governing body. Prior to this, it says the election shall be held in the same manner and time as the general election of the county. Seats 1, 4, and 5 shall run in the years for the presidential election. Seats 2 and 3
shall run in the
off-year's election. They have asked to change that from seat 1, 4, and 5 to 1, 3,
and 5,
and from seat 2 and 3 to 2 and 4.
Now, the way the ordinance reads, as y'all remember, they're elected by the whole. They're not districted out like we are in the county. So
I don't
know how their makeup is down there exactly, but this is to benefit them. Mr. Hatch probably could speak more to, mm-hmm. you know, why this is so important. But that being said, that's the only change that they're requesting to make in this entire ordinance. So
I did say y'all, about,
like I said, about an hour of my
lovely voice.
I'm reading to y'all.
Y'all have to
take a vote on that one
tonight, gentlemen.
I do have copies
available to y'all. And I have nothing else on the ordinance at this time.
Okay. All right. Anti-drug. Anybody here? Okay. All right. Mr. Steve?
He's not here. Everything's good down there.
Mr. Gregg.
Start with the EOC. That project was advertised on April the 11th. The mandatory pre-bid meeting is scheduled for April 25th. And then the bid opening is scheduled for May 14th. So that, final stages of that as far as receiving bids for that. The fire station, we'll be sending a notice to proceed to that contractor for an effective date of April 29th, and as they indicated previously, they're looking at starting the first of May construction on that. On the library roof repair, we received some updated agreements from Ms. Chana. We're reviewing those, and we'll get that back up pretty quick. I can clear that up, and then again, can advertise that at their convenience after those are executed. The CDBG project, we're addressing our phase three comments, finally the cost estimate. We did get word back from Central Florida Electric. They have no problem relocating the one pole we had an issue with, so they're going to be taking care of that. That project can move forward. The environmental review is moving forward to completion as well. Once that's complete, then the plans will be able to send their package to Scott Palmer for their approval. Altiers Road, we sent revised plans back to DOT. That if we have got anything back that you and I discussed that, did you have that cost drain?
Mm-hmm. All right, good deal.
So that is in that road. We did discover that. So, Sheriff's Office Evidence Building, we're still waiting comment or approval from the Sheriff's Office on the floor plan that we submitted to them. And basically, that's it. We did get a request from Scott to look at the communication tower, so the structural engineer is assessing the damage that might have occurred. Other than that, that's all I have. To talk about something.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Thank you.
I do got something. On the, we were talking about you picking up the Economic Council's, what they was handling for the county on the fees and processing special exceptions and all that stuff.
And you
last meeting we voted to move forward with that. Where are we at with that? We voted to move forward to see if we go.
We voted to advertise. So, to advertise for
the reason I bring that up, I got beat up pretty bad about those fees that they was talking about. I did a little bit of research, and the highest county close to us on special exceptions is $500.
I'm right here, most of them is $450 to $500, and we were talking about doing like $3,000, $3,500 on special exception RV.
And I think that's
going to be burdened.
Something ain't quite right there with that issue. Leon, you want to look at that?
But anyhow, I was just trying to figure out where we're going to go with this.
I can talk about it on my
time. Let's just talk about it whenever you get ready.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, Mr. Greg. Mr. John?
Chief's going to talk about a couple projects we just started with him. Otherwise, I don't have to
do much. Thank you. Miss Cindy Ballot's not.
Mr.
You ain't got nothing, Mr. Bean. Hush, you ain't here. Johnson, I hear him. Mr. Johnson.
I don't have nothing.
You ain't nothing. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for all your hard work. And
I got something for Tim,
okay,
too. Would you be available next week for me and you to run down toward Daytona to find that place and check on getting that hydraulic pump rebuilt on the machine? Okay. The one that I found was not compatible, and I can't. I remember where that place is at, but I can't find his number. So we gonna do that, honey. Must.
Mr. Wright.
And I hate to bring that up, Leon, but I got beat up saying that we are going to pull a fast one on the people. I'm running for re-election.
We're going to wait for
after the election.
If we get re-elected,
and we're going to force this thing down their throat, and that's not the case. And I want to set the record straight. So, if you can help me with that endeavor, I appreciate it.
I understand. So, we're fixing to be April 30th, we'll have training for code enforcement procedures. That's going to be at the library, and there's already about 12 of us from the county and the city that's going to be attending. And at the same time, Ms. Jennifer, I can't pronounce her last name.
Kirkhoff.
She's a lawyer out of...
what was that?
Yeah, she's in Chiefa.
That was a C?
K.
Or a K?
K.
Okay, what's a J then?
I said, I can't pronounce it. But she is one of the lawyers that we had to pay her legal fees in the code enforcement case. And but she's also a U.S. law professor. And so she said that she would come over and teach us how to do procedural code enforcement cases. So that... hopefully we won't be in the situation that we were in that last case. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is that we're going to get her to review the enforcement part of the LDRs. And so it's now been vetted. This will be twice it's vetted. And we'll be able to bring it back before the board the beginning of May is when bring that back to be advertised, and then the first reading on that be at a nighttime meeting. My plan is to have our local planning citizen board, we call that LPA, have their training at the beginning of May, so that when we start the following month, we'll start to hear projects coming before them. So what will happen is, like, we go into a public meeting, they will get a chance to vet all the stuff that you hear, and they will give you recommendations, pass or deny. That'll be a recommendation. It'll come back to you that the board recommends pass of this, and then it'll go into just a resolution. It should allow for greater transparency, like you was just saying, Commissioner. It also will involve citizen input better. I think it'll work really well, and then you'll get good positive feedback from it. At the end of the day, the commission still has veto power to approve or deny anything, because it's just an advisory panel. So, kind of to bring up your question earlier is that, yeah, we've operated now for over 6 years of me processing this paperwork and sending it up. What I'm starting to see is a trend of more complex projects coming into the county. This one right here is one of them. This right here is a rezoning and a comp plan amendment. This will be controversial, I promise you, gentlemen. This is going to be a high density in Gina. It includes parcels on both sides of the road. This is outside my wheelhouse of what I want to bring before you. And so I say, hey, we need to have a planner, somebody else that can take a look at this. It's projects like this. It's big projects. You know, good case in point, your last PRD that you had in the county was River Shores. And that was horrible. So the developer on this project didn't waste any time. They mailed both of these packets to us. They want us to process this under the fee schedule that Mr. Bailey had given to us. They included a check for a comp plan amendment for $4,100. A rezoning application of $7,300. My recommendation is that Mr. Gregg's office has already been dealing with some of this already, is that we just allow that task to be completed right there, because I promise you this is going to be one that we're going to bring the local planning board in on and let them look at it as well. It's just something that I'm not comfortable bringing before you and say yes. Here we go. I know it's something Ms. Chaney would love to have other people look at as well. You got some bigger projects coming down the pipeline, and I can't really stand up here and disclose them until they submit us paperwork, but I can look down and see that we're going to need engineering and we're going to need some planning services available to us. How we get there, you know, I explained to Gene when I was talking to him about our timeline for adopting the LDRs and getting those and the code enforcement cases, you know, tightened up. And although he wanted to retire here in June or July, he said that he would stay with us until December to make sure that we had a smooth transition into whichever direction we do go. Buys us time to figure this out. I do know that the fee schedule is not in line with what we're typically used to seeing. I mean, don't get me wrong, out of everybody's fee schedule, we're still the cheapest of all the fees in all the counties. I do know that, like Mr. Gregg had disclosed at the last meeting, we're going to be doing Gilchrist County and, you know, we do other work in the county, but
on the bigger project, I didn't ask the question on it. They probably are a lot higher. I just asked the question on, like, the setbacks. The normal stuff we do in setbacks and RV acceptance.
Don't get me wrong, I think some of the setbacks.
We've been charging $300 to do those.
Most all the counties are at 450. I said the highest one that's closest to us is 500. And But anyway, we got a problem. We got to fix it, but I want the public to know that we're not fixing to shove something down their throat and
burden them. We're going to try to do the best we can for them.
Right. And so I know for us, because it was always said that there's nothing special about a special exception, but that's not necessarily the case. They are special and unique individual, but RVs are not the only special exceptions.
Setbacks.
This, not anybody sitting here, but in 1996, the board that was there got served with about that thick of a lawsuit for Ocean Pond. And it was issued through a special exception. And so there are going to be times when we do want
an engineer
to help us make the best decisions on each one of these.
With all that being said, on that one right there, seeing how Greg, I guess Brandon has been working with you on that through Greg, why don't we just let them handle that?
Well, that was going to be my request, that we let them finish that project and bring it here before us. They had one other project that they were working on as well, and it may not, they may not proceed with it. They may. I don't know. I haven't heard anything back.
It sounds like they're good with the fee process. They've already issued a check with the package out there. So.
This is multi-townhouse project.
Yeah.
Long money. This is, when I tell you you're ready for phone calls, you write that down. Go ahead, write it down. I promise you.
Yeah. So,
Mr. David.
So with Greg being on staff already, we can just, we don't have to vote on him doing it. We can still let him handle it. Yes, he's on staff already. So
we just disclose that, hey, that's the fee to send it to third-party review, and they understand that the person that's put this packet together is a planner. They actually do that type of work. They know every bit of it just as well as Mr. Greg does. They were here previously. And spoke to you. They were the ones that were trying to do the planning work for the county before the JV Pro. And but this project, this is the first time we've seen a complete packet. They've been sending bits and pieces via email back and forth. And I know they spoke to Brandon over there. But yeah,
Greg, are you, where you at behind that wonderful pole? Are you good? We're proceeding on with that?
Yeah.
All right, so you and Leon work that out. I
yeah.
Thought they just did work that out. So.
Yes, sir. And back to Mr. Stevenson's comment. We prepared the cost based on a comprehensive package of services. And the RVs versus the project that Leon has referred you to, we're looking at those projects, but, you know, there's other ways, and, you know, can we have a different level of special exception or special, it's not a special exception, but if you want to have a special permit for those classes, because they may be less controversial, so you can get those costs back down. We can also look at the services that we provide versus what we've given so far. As far as a comprehensive service, there may be something that we can work out with his staff to get those fees down. So it's really, you know, whatever the board wants to do, we're here to, I'm not wanting to get any of you guys any grief or anything like that, so.
I appreciate that. And the reason I bring that up is, I've said it time and time again, a lot of times on these special exceptions, the people come here to complain and have never even talked to the people that's lying on what they're going to do. Just like they jumped on us about that deal on the fees. They didn't call and ask what was going on. We all just fix them to shove this down their throat and da-da-da-da-da, but that's not the case. And a lot of times on these RV special exceptions, the ones that's complaining, they don't know. And once they actually talk to the property owners, then they're okay with what they're doing. So, but anyhow, I just wanted to get that cleared up because it was getting pretty heavy out there.
Alright. The next bit of items I have for you. Next week, myself and Jason will both be in floodplain conference up in Sandestin, so that'll be all week long. There's some new policies coming down the pipeline for floodplain management, and hopefully it'll be a good educational experience right there. Some of you are aware that Taylor County is experiencing some of these new policies and guidelines. We have some calls into the Drilling Commission and some emails trying to get clarification on this. Currently, we're going to wait for this clarification on these policies before we start to go down that road. What a lot of people don't understand is that building code is written primarily by insurance companies. Once you realize that they are the ones who control that, then the building code will make more sense to you. And over the years, what we've seen is that they have integrated FEMA into the building code more and more and more. And they're starting to really add some unique characteristics to the code. It would have an impact on us, but I'll know more when we get done with conference and when we have a meeting with some of the building commissions. I can give you an update when we get ready to cross that bridge. I don't have an update for you right now, and anybody that has a permit turned in, we're going to process them and continue on with them. Is there any questions for me?
I got one. It's not pertaining to our county. It's pertaining to Taylor County. I know that they was allowing them to do like four RVs per spot down there. Mm-hmm. But now they're pulling, to my understanding, they can no longer do the pole barns.
Well, they will let them do it for, 40 days, and they
So what he's referring to is just what I just explained. I just didn't really articulate that it was pole barns that they shut down. There's some new code that had come out, and they put it in the building code, and they didn't really explain it to nobody, so it was kind of forced in there, that the size of structures along the coastline are being set forth in the building code. So if you live along the coastline, what they're saying is that you can't have a detached accessory structure no larger than 600 square feet. So I want to make sure that anybody trying to record this understands that this right here is new to the code. So what you're having is, if it's a detached structure, a residential accessory structure, 600 square feet is your limit, according to the building code. But we're getting some clarification back from that, because in definition, a pole barn would be an accessory structure. Where does that stop? Does that stop at boat shelters? Is all the boat shelters now going to be limited to 600 square feet? Anything detached from your house? So you have to look at it.
Who got the train?
I think it may be me flying off of there.
Have you been across
the It's landed. Land?
Have you been over there?
So don't get me wrong, I don't want to talk bad about any department, I don't want to talk bad about any county, but I've questioned some of the things that were done previously. They were in a CRS program, they're looking at possibly losing their program status, which is nothing new. You've seen multiple counties across the board losing their status. It's some growing pain, and you had a building department right there that was for 30 years unchanged, and you now have people coming in there and realizing that, hey, this is a rule and that's a rule, and yeah, it's going to be interesting. I had several of their commissioners call us and want to know how we run things, and we try to find balance and showing what we do and what we don't do and how we do it, and I've been working with Mr. Earl over there as well. He's the person who has authority over that jurisdiction. So it's going to be his call over there on what he does. Myself, I'm going to get clarification from the state before we deny anybody anything. We're going to make sure that you're 100% correct.
Thank you, Leon.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate you. I appreciate you helping clear that up on the other side.
Mr. Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll be the one to take the blame for the long meeting. I should have a booklet somewhere. top of that, you'll have your billing report for February. Sorry, it was a little late. I'll explain why. Back in late January, early February, the company that submits our billing to Medicare, Medicaid, all private insurance was hacked nationwide and shut down. They're waiting to see where we are. We have not been able to bill since February. Our collection is projected at $100,000 per month to meet our $1.2 million goal. I instructed Ms. Lisa that if they did not have a solution by the end of this month, we would change to a different system that she would have to start correcting and putting or whatever. They have been staying in close contact 3 to 4 days a week. They've been working diligently on it. To my knowledge right now, everything is back up and running. They've made the internal changes. You will see that in February we collected $57,484, so of course that's nearly 50%. If you look at the total out at the end, you will see that that total is $540,000 319. So she is still $40,319 over budget. We are expecting a really good March and April. We are seeing money coming in. We're looking at $2,000 worth of bills. I don't know what comes in. We'll have to see. But the process, everything has now been submitted, even our back claims, and that money is what she is seeing. She told me this morning. I've been checking about every other day, and she's tired of me harassing her, so she found me. And she said she is seeing that money coming in now from Medicare and Medicaid. So it's my hopes that that's moving. So that's the reason you haven't seen this report. And I can't give you marches yet because she doesn't know what it is because of all of this. She's been working weekends, nights. We've been getting phone calls all times of the day and night trying to keep it together. So sorry for the little delay in not letting you know what was going on, but honestly, I didn't know what to tell you at that time. So we were just trying to get some clarification before I scared anyone and made anyone have any bad thoughts. But we hope that is moving, and I will keep y'all correct on or up to date on that as things progress. You should see the second page. You'll have a list of projects. This is the public work project for Hurricane Delta. This is the things that have been submitted to FEMA and we've got return on. I think there's 72 projects total. Of course, there's not many that many on this page. You will see the project to the left, the top one, Shirt Island tables, grills, and trash cans over to the best available cost, which is what FEMA is projecting we're going to get. Keith Garner has signed that one. You should have a $31,814 check coming. I spoke to him this morning. He's at an emergency management conference in Chief Ferguson. The others on the list have not been verified by him yet, but this is what we're looking at for projected costs. But these numbers are subject to change. Also keep in mind, these numbers are FEMA's 75%. The state matches 12.5%, and the state has agreed to waive the other 12.5% that we are due to pay. However, we've not yet seen the waiver forms, but they are in the works. So as these projects come about, that 12.5% of $31,814 plus whatever it was should be waived, and the money has been appropriated and put aside, and it's a first-come, first-served basis. So as soon as we see that form, you will have one submitted for the $31,000 project. So this just gives you some idea, gentlemen, of the projects that they have looked at and are moving on. You heard, I think, Mr. Gregg mentioned the engineers to the tower. That's one of the projects. I don't know if it's on this list or not, to be honest with you.
Communication tower?
Yes, sir. That's one that was damaged in the storm. Mm-hmm. They continually are coming back with questions. They're trying to decide whether they're going to repair or replace. Is basically what they're trying to do to get that number. So as those questions come in, Chief Garner and Ms. Tina are dealing with them daily. I've seen some today. He's working on his computer in the meetings. It's happening every day. That's what they're going through. And they're referring the information back. Mr. Bailey's stuff that he's working on is one of those things. They want an engineered opinion of the damage and so on and so forth. So as we get those, they're moving through. This is it's a long, complicated process. And I know we've discussed this, but we just got this in day before yesterday while I was out. When I come in last night, Tina gave it to me. And I wanted to make sure that y'all had it. Again, this is not all the projects. These are just the ones that have gotten this far so far. And the only one he told me this morning that has been signed off on and confirmed is that top one for the Sherrod Park.
the tables or whatever it was there, but the others I expect to be coming any day if they've made it this far already. So that just gives you some idea for the citizens. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 projects. Four of them have no monies noted yet.
But they will be coming, right? Money for those also, right?
But that's out of 72 projects. That totals $5,788,156 right there. And you have to remember that, not including the state's 12.5% and the 12.5% match. So add 25% to $5,788,000 and you'll get your number of what we are going to be awarding, we hope. And yes, sir, I won't say yes, but FEMA at any minute can deny any claim. So if they say we're not going to pay you for the communication tower, that's one that we're actually, that's one I just looked at. Imagine that. It's on hold because they're trying to figure out are we replacing or are we repairing. So they can't stick a number on it because it depends on the problem. And that's why that was a good example. I'm glad I looked at it, but that's what you're seeing there. So none of this is guaranteed because it's the federal government, but this is where we're at so far with these projects. These are the ones that they've said, we think this number's going to work. And as we go through and verify and agree or disagree, then we move forward with that. Those other projects out of those 72 should be coming in just like this. It's just these are the first ones to hit the fan. So if you have questions on them, I'll be happy to sit down with you. Again, all this is subject to some change, but according to Chief Garner, these numbers are pretty close to secure. So we should be there. If you look at the second one, Highway 357, that's the Sherwood Highway. They've got $1,851,000 there. I think the engineering bid is somewhere around $2.1 or $2.2 million. So if you add 25% to that, you're going to be getting there, John. We're going to be at that point pretty close. My calculator don't go that high without good batteries, but that's kind of where we are. So just gives you some idea of what we've got there. Anybody have any questions on that before we move on?
Yeah. This one, Darren, check on it and tell me what this means. Can you call me later? Debris removal 100% countywide, $5,000.
What that is, Mr. Hatch, DOT, the governor, mandated that DOT pick up all of our debris. There was some debris that had already made it to our sites, some debris that we had to dispose of. That was very minor. Those numbers came from the estimates. I think it was Lockwood that had done some of those surveys of those piles that we already had and the burning and getting rid of. It doesn't cover all the loaders and stuff that was covered under DOT, but the minimal stuff that we personally, the county, had to dispose of, and that's the dollars they come to. And that probably doesn't cover it, honestly. It probably does not cover all of it, but at that time, as fast as it was coming in and with DOT coming up and moving to, it was almost impossible to get any done. So,
yeah.
But that's the explanation of what that is. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just missed it.
Next page, we have a copy of a check. It's probably the biggest one I've ever held. I'm sure y'all have had bigger ones. $10,105,596,000. That come in yesterday. I immediately carried it with these ladies. They were very happy. We have told y'all about the lap funding that was put aside. It was appropriated after the storm from last year's appropriations. There was $50 million put aside in recovery of the storm for the impacted counties in this area, the rural counties. Swanee, Taylor, us, all of those impacted. I forget how many there were, 8 or 9 counties. You had to apply for projects that did not fall into the FEMA money.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be covered by FEMA first or insurance. And if you had other projects that were not covered under that for whatever reason, then you could apply. One of those prime examples is Shirt Island Beach. We can rebuild the tables, we can rebuild the pavilions, we can rebuild the trash cans, but they will not pay, FEMA will not pay to put the sand back on the beach because the beach was not engineered beforehand. They want to know how big is the beach, how high is the sand, so we can put it back to that. If we don't have that, they refuse to reimburse us for that because, I mean, I understand. They don't know what was there, and they could be taken advantage of. I'm sure that's never happened with FEMA. But, so that was one of the projects that was immediately handed to us. Our contractors and representatives that were working with us from the state
immediately pulled that one to the side and said, look, this is something that you can put towards that. So we applied for that project in there, along with the new station in the Horseshoe Beach area, trying to get it out of the surge zone and build a true fire station instead of a barn. We had some damage at Station 3. We asked to rebuild the living area and harden it and make it a safer structure. They actually approved in that to increase it to a full fire station if we would like. It also included dredging all the canals, or I'm assuming all, I don't have a map in front of me, in Horseshoe Beach, the internal canals, and I think the rim canal.
Yes, sir.
And then there were select canals on the saltwater side in Suwannee that were given to us to dredge as well. All of those projects come to $10,105,000 and whatever that number is. This money had to come to the county immediately because it had to be spent since it was out of last year's appropriations. The state had to spend the money by June 30th because it messes up their books. So their option was to send us a check for the projects. They told us that we want those five projects done with $10.1 million or you can pay the rest. If you have money left over here, you can move it over there on the other project, this, that, and the other. We have since spoken to Mr. Bailey. We've met with them. Actually, we met with Mr. Lockler first on the dredging. That was who done, I think, the first estimates. And that's the project he was talking about. They're moving forward with that to try to get some, I think they're wanting to get another firm that specializes in beaches to look at the beach at Shirt Island. And I said the dredging, but I'm not sure if they're getting the dredging. But we did meet them on Shirt Island, not the dredging, I'm sorry. So they're working on getting someone to get specific engineering details for that. So that's moving. They haven't probably done a lot because at the time they didn't have the money. After that, we met with Mr. Bailey and Mr. Bailey on the fire stations, and we asked them about the options there. And they seemed to think that with some modifications and things that we could build two completely new fire stations and completely replace the one at 349 and 351. Unfortunately, up there, our land is not big enough for that. We are looking for a piece of land there. I don't want to move it far from that intersection. I think I've been out of town this week on another meeting that we'll get into in a few minutes, but I think there is a piece that has been, they have been told that the person is willing to buy by that or sell by that person, and Mr. Bailey and them have looked at it, and a portion of that land is adequate and suitable. I tried to go there today, and I did not make it, so we'll be looking at that. We can't go too deep into that yet, though, until we get land in Horseshoe Beach. I've been denied by three landowners down there that do not want to sell. The investment company that holds the land between Mr. Hutch's house and the main line where the water tower is, where we want to put it to get it out of the surge zone, I've contacted their timber manager about 6 months ago. He turned it over to the board. Had not heard anything. Once we realized we were approved, I called him last week. He said he had turned it over to them, but there was no movement on it. I've reached out to Mr. Ganey. We're going to look at sending a letter directly to the board for that investment holding company to see if we can get that. There is another smaller timber company there that we've not yet reached out to. I've reached out to three different private landowners. There is also the church, the New Beginnings Church there. I understand they have moved. I do know that there is at least one resident that is staying there because they were displaced. But there are some options if they were interested in selling that. If anyone knows of that, we would love to talk to you.
Chief, if I could just interrupt.
Yes, sir.
I did speak to Mr. Sammy Corbin, who is a part of the New Beginnings Church today. He indicated that he wasn't sure how that board would feel about that, but he would present it to them.
Okay.
So we would just be awaiting an answer from their board.
Okay. And, you know, I think the size of that land, some of it's very wet, some of it's not. I think we could, even if we needed to work with the displaced resident, we could possibly leave them there while the building was being built to give them time to get somewhere else or maybe help find other alternate situations. I don't know what their intents are. I haven't talked to anyone. But I can't come beyond that church because I have to stay within 5 miles of Horseshoe Beach at the end of the road to give the proper insurance coverage. So I'm limited on where I can go with it. So I'm trying to stay in that area and make sure that we're covering Horseshoe Beach because we don't want to do anything to jeopardize their insurance coverage. But it does need to be outside of that surf zone so we don't have to evacuate our trucks because, as y'all know, when those storms come and that water's going to be 4 feet deep, we have to move everything we have to town
And then we have to go back like we did during Avalia, and we actually have to rent out the bed spaces and the toiletry and everything else to build a fire station that we kept for 2 months there to keep crews down there at lots of dollars per day. I don't even get into those numbers because it's embarrassing to say what they make off of it. But it's not in the thousands, I can tell you that. It's in the tens of thousands per day to do that. All that's reimbursed through the state. We didn't have to pay any of that. It's all done through FEMA and the state. But this prevents us from having to evacuate those crews, so immediately after the storm, the truck is there, the guys and gals can go in. Right now, that station's not staffed. It's a volunteer station, but that day is coming. Station 4 is being built in Old Town off of Chaffetz. That's the next plan to staff, and we have some money put there, I think, to get us there this year. While we're on staffing, there is some stuff happening in Gina. It is in our 5-year plan to staff that station as well. We've been working on it. I have some other things. I talked to the state yesterday or the day before about some other stuff with the EMS side of it. So there's things there in place. The station there is adequate. It's one of the first ones we had staff down there. It was a joint deal between Taylor and Dixie. The fire chief for Taylor County approached me 2 years ago and said he would like to revisit that venture as well with dual staffing for both counties. I'm hesitant if we can get around it because it's really complicated. We've done that for a year and a half, and it's difficult for us, for them, for the crews. But just understand that we do see that. We see that growth that is there between there and Rocky Creek. Mm-hmm. And I've told my guys, we got to look at that. That's going to come. And now these other things are coming. It's the only place we have a true high-rise. That's coming. So we're looking at that. But as these states have come on board, we're hoping we can move forward. But that check is for your stations. So basically right now, if we can find the land, we can buy the land or the buildings. If y'all are ready to dredge and you know who's going to do that or however you're going to bid or process, that's beyond me. We're ready to dig. We're ready to build a beach. We have the money. I've got the pay codes in my email. Miss Jackie and Miss Brenda have set up already. So we know what is there, and we can use that money, and we can start spending money. That money is there. It has to be accounted for, of course. We have to keep up with the interest. I think we're going to pay that back to the state. But I think all that they're handling. So that's good news, gentlemen. That's $10 million. That's over $10 million that's there. So we're moving forward with that. While we're on that part of it, I just got this number there yesterday. I don't remember when. I haven't had time to study it a lot. Mr. Hatch and I talked a little earlier about the seawalls in Suwanee. That was one of the projects y'all wanted to look at.
Mm-hmm.
We had told the state we wanted to do that. We didn't have any numbers to give them at the time. We allotted a number, and I don't know how close we were, but there's enough buffer there to take care of it. This cost came in at $3,384,076.84. That will start a seawall at the entrance of Suwanee on the left-hand side on the riverside, and it will run it all the way down to our county boat ramp. Now, that project has not been submitted, of course, with as well as the others, but it is on that list to go in, along with raising those roads. How many was it?
Four
roads in Suwanee. There's several other things in that money that we're looking at putting in there, but those things are in the process of being submitted. That money is coming out of our hazard mitigation money, which is another pot of money that did not open up until just the other day. The deadline on it was April the 29th.
30th.
They have extended that deadline to June the 7th. We've been meeting. There's some projects in Horseshoe. There's some projects in Town Across City. There's a whole list of projects that are in that batch of money, and we're going to start turning them in, and then they will be up for approval or disapproval through the state and the feds. But that's moving. I wanted to get that number out while I had y'all in. I didn't make you a copy of that. I'm sorry. I got tied up. But that number's there. If anybody wants a copy, I'll be happy to give it to you in the morning or today if we get to a copy machine. The river is headed up. We have been in action phase for about a week now, which is generally when Purvis starts to see water. I have not had time to get the Purvis Chief Garner to get over, but I'm sure it's underwater by now. We are expecting by the 25th, which is, next Thursday? Tuesday or Thursday, to be a 10-foot one. 10-foot is flood stage. That is minor flood for Dixie County. The river is high. I think that the commissioners probably should start looking at the boat ramp situation. I'm pretty sure that Gilchrist, they have a policy in place that a certain height they go ahead and close. I'm pretty sure they've reached that height, Mr. Gaines.
I spoke with Mr. Crosby today.
It's
an unofficial closing, but they are closed on that side of the river. Generally, when they close, we close. Y'all don't have the same policy in place, so that requires action from the board. I don't know if the board wants to move on that today.
I'll make a motion to close them.
Okay,
we got a motion, Mr. Wood, to close them. Second, Mr. Hatch. Any discussion?
I want to say one thing. As the board, we've been looking at closing them already, but the reason we didn't, we was waiting to see if Gilchrist and Levy was closing there, so they wasn't going to do no good for us to close.
I don't care what they do.
But anyway, I'm good with it.
I kind of like what Gilchrist has got going on over. I talked to Paul about it a little bit today, and instead of us waiting for a board meeting to have action on closing them boat ramps, I'd like for us to look at a number and put it in a resolution and an ordinance. And I like the number 9 foot when it reaches that. I know we can't do it today, but it's something we can start working toward.
So, Commissioner Hatch, for me, I actually have a copy of the policy that they put in place, and theirs take effect on their most northern boat ramp in the county whenever it's determined that the idle speed zones go into effect. And I think those are determined by FWC. So as soon as FWC determines that idle speed zones in that area goes into effect,
they close them down.
Policy takes effect.
Like I said, I like the 9 foot. I don't want to go above 9 foot, and I really don't care what FWC's idle speeds is and all that. I care about our residents on the river and our businesses on the river. So I want us to work on that after we get all this.
Yep, go ahead.
Well, we might change it to 8.57 then.
There you go. We'll take a look. Chief Ron will be back next week. We'll study on that and see where we can come to.
Let me know what that number is, because I was looking at Purvis this morning. I wrote down
the
look.
We are currently, as of a couple hours ago, at 8.57. Right now, that is at Wilcox, which is where we get our number at.
Okay. Because if Purvis is already that way, we've already got a 10.
I'm glad it's under, and it's all going
under also.
We go into action stage at 7 foot, and that's at 7 foot, Purvis, the road is not completely under. But very shortly after that, it starts to come over the road. So 7 foot is where we start to see that impact. That is the only area. There are a few others, but road-wise and cutting people off, that's the only true area in that action stage that's where we kind of look at. That's what we start looking at when it gets to 7 foot, Purvis is going under. And once it gets on up to where we're getting now, then we start having other impacts. Chief Garner can probably spit them off the top of his head, but he can't do it sometimes. So, you know, we'll be happy to study on all of that and see what those numbers are, and we can give with y'all and make recommendations. Mr. Kenny can and see where we're at. But I don't disagree with you. There should be no reason that we continually come in here every time the river goes up and we have to come in and say the river's high. Yep. The citizens don't want people running up and down their stuff.
That's right.
I don't disagree with that at all. We'll work on it. Paul, if you can keep me reminded, please.
All right. Well, hang on.
Yes, sir.
We had a motion. We had a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Boat ramp's closed.
We'll have those signs placed first thing in the morning.
Good job.
And gentlemen, if y'all will coordinate for me, we'll get a board drafted together.
Paul, did you say you had Gilchrist?
I do have what Gilchrist County has.
So that's a good benchmark to start working off of.
All right. We got 3 y'all's packages. I'm going to start my list.
Okay. Darren, before we get off that, I do got one thing up. I've been to several things with grass, especially on the coastline, and it's a little bit different from the freshwater, but eelgrass. Have you ever heard of eelgrass?
I've heard of it, boss. I don't know much about it or where it grows.
It grows, it grows on the canals down yonder is where it grows at, but when we're dredging these canals, FWC's got a program that will replace eelgrass. And what that does, it helps the inland fishing down there on the coastline. So as we dredge these canals, I want to reach out to FWC, see if they can come and put some field grass in there, plant some vegetation there, too, where we can still have fishing on our inshore. Because without that, they ain't going to have no fishing.
Ms. Martha, can you help me remember? Send me an email or something to remind me, please.
But start with FWC, because there's a program right there with that.
Only I just thought about something. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it just popped my head. On closing the boat ramps, we do need to coordinate that somewhat with FWC, because when we close them, a lot of times what we have is a lot of looting that goes on. So somebody's got to kind of be looking after the river now when we close those ramps for those people that's going to these houses and breaking in. And if people need, I don't know how we need to handle that, but we got to have something in place to help protect them.
Paul, whenever we close these ramps in the morning, are you notifying FWC?
I spoke to FWC this afternoon just prior to the meeting of Commissioner Hatch and told him that I was anticipating this action taking place tonight. They already have officers on the river now patrolling and enforcing the idle speed zones.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lieutenant Ward with FWC, so we have been in contact.
Okay, so honestly, if we pass this resolution, you still do the same process what you do right now, right? Mm-hmm. So they're notified?
Correct.
Thank you. Would that fix you?
Yes, I'm good.
Billing issues we've discussed already. We're still well on track with our budget. I think we will be fine. I was a little nervous. I will admit I don't get nervous too often, but she was tired of hearing me and seeing me in her office. I had her texting me at midnight, my day's off, and any other time she found the change. So we're working on that. I just didn't want to come in here and scare y'all to death, because I was scared to death, and I don't need to be one of the scariest times. So, the hurricane projects, the LAP money we just discussed. Station 4, that is the station going in off of Chaffetz. That building was ordered last week. It was a 10-week processing time when they first looked at ordering it. We had some wind load changes that Mr. Leon brought to us, and they had re-engineered the building, so it delayed us a couple of weeks. Ms. Lacey, contract manager, assured me that they had been told that that building, the physical red iron building package, will arrive June the 6th. They are prepared to start breaking ground literally with tractors and putting up fence. We had told them we wanted to have a groundbreaking ceremony. She gave me two dates, May the 6th or April the 29th. She encouraged us to do it as quick as possible so they could work. So on the 29th of April at 10:30 in the morning at 227 Northeast 211th Avenue off Chaffetz Road, we will be breaking ground on a new $4 million, $3 million fire station. That station has 210 days to be finished, and I think what I've seen on the schedule, the punch list check, will be November 11th. So by December, we should be able to have a Christmas party in there this year.
There you go.
Hey, there
next
you
year,
go.
We'll have another one to have a Christmas party in. And the next year, we'll have to figure out which of the other two we're going to put a Christmas party in. So that is there. That is y'all's official invite. They did, actually, while I was gone this week, sent out invites by email. I hope that y'all were included. If you were not, please let me know. That went out to all of the senators and House representatives. Ms. Jennifer Bradley, who was our senator at the time, Mr. Chuck Clemens was supposed to be on that list. They were instrumental in getting us there. Mr. Julius Hollis, who was the director of the State Fire Marshal's Office, was included. He is leaving on a cruise that day. He said he will not be here. His wife can prove. But he would be at the ceremony when we have it. Including Mr. Joe and Mr. Simon, because they are our current reps. I have been already told that Mr. Simon will be attending. That's the only two. Him and Mr. Hollis are the only two I've been told about. Director Rice, from the current director of the State Fire Marshal's Office, was invited. There was two pages of people I don't know who beyond the county staff. So I would like to encourage any and all to come out. This will probably be a fairly short ceremony. This is going to be just to say we're doing it. When this building is done, my guys told me the other day they've already reserved the Jacksonville Pipe and Drums for the party. That's a pretty big operation if they show up, and they will probably be here. So I'm telling all these folks that we've invited that we will be having an open house come November, December, so our Christmas party will probably be pretty big this year.
Hopefully we'll be there.
I hope you are. You didn't make last year's. You got busy last year. You did tell me in advance. So hopefully we'll have a bigger ceremony this coming November, December, and have an actual open house for this new station. There are several other fire chiefs and stuff. They just had one in Baker County, and we tried to go, and I couldn't. But it'll be advertised, and hopefully we'll have a pretty good turnout. This is pretty big for this county. The last station that we built in this county was in the,
I think it was the late 90s. Swanee Station and the Station 2 in Old Town were built off of leftover money from FWC grants and built by inmate labor. We've since modified the one in Old Town even better than what it was. I did some stuff last year with the Alza's Blessings, and our crews are now living in that station. The others were built prior to that. One in the first district was, we built the bays, I think the inmates did, and that building was moved from Lafayette County to Forestry and Cross City, and from Cross City to there, and they're living in a forestry building right now. So that station's going to be replaced. The one in Horseshoe is a barn with a bathroom. That building's going to be replaced with a full living area, truck bays, so on and so forth. The EOC, right now my crew's in town. We had an EMS station with two people in it. We now have a squad truck on with another person in it. We have an ALS engine on with two more people, so I've got five people living in a two-person station. They're sleeping literally on top of each other. I hope they all stay dressed while it happens. That is in the process of being replaced. All of our trucks are in the open. Our fire trucks this year, with the freeze we had, it was a problem. We had to wrap the building, the open building, and put heaters in to keep the pumps from freezing. This will get these trucks into controlled atmospheres. Nice, up-to-date living areas. Mr. Jenkins was just complimenting on the station with concrete PSIs and stuff. They're nice buildings. These are multi-million-dollar stations. We're trying to build them as much alike as we can. I fought with the State Fire Marshal's Office for the last 8 months on the furnishings, and they finally got tired of hearing from me. Every meeting Director Rice was at, I was standing with her pouring her coffee and telling her I needed my furniture paid for. So it looks like we're going to get new air compressors, we're going to get new gear washers, new gear dryers, we're going to get furniture inside the stations, beds, recliners. She won't pay for the TVs yet, but I haven't given up. Exercise equipment we're going to put in there. So each building, well, the first two buildings have workout rooms so the crews can try to stay in a little better shape. They all want to blow their knees out, the elbows and shoulders every time we have a fire and tear their calf muscles and teeth. So they need to exercise. So we're putting that in, and if it goes as we hope, everything will be paid for through these appropriations. talking to Tina today, and she lost her whole train of thought. I just lost mine. But anyway, one of the big problems that Miss Jackie and Miss Brenda had, and they were really unhappy with me about getting all this free money, because this free money is reimbursable. We have this fire station in Old Town is $2.1 million, I think. The EOC bid out last Friday or Thursday when that building was ordered. Within 30 days, it will be under construction, and it is more than that. It's probably going to be $2.5 or $3 million. With that going on, every month I've got to pay contractors. 210 days is 7 months. You take 7 and divide into $2.1 million, you're a couple of $100,000 a month. You multiply that times two stations, I'm spending $500,000 a month. I spend $500,000 this month, I turn in the invoices after the check's clear, it makes it to the state, next month's rolled around, I'm another $500,000 in the hole. The third month, I get my $500,000 back, and we're still $1 million in the hole. They were not happy about that. That requires a loan to fix at $9,000 a month interest. While I was pouring Ms. Rice's coffee 15 times in January, I told her we needed some of that up front. They have agreed to give us 50% up front on each of the buildings. So that process was awaiting updated contracts. I got the contract this week, Tuesday, as she assured me that it was requested for the first half of that first station to be submitted, and the check should be being cut. It's already sent to finance. So any day we should be getting $1 million check roughly. And once that number gets down to a lower amount, then we can request the final phase. It's a high-risk operation for the state because they're giving us millions of dollars and we haven't done anything for them. They ask us to put a sign up. We've done it. So we should be seeing that any day. So that's going to solve the loan problem, the headache problem, all the other problems. So those things are coming, Joe. There's a lot of changes coming. My desk is very busy. Filled up the file cabinet today. But we're going to keep making it happen. Already got the new tanker in that was given to us at $650 last year. I still have about $20,000, $30,000 worth of equipment. We have $73,000 left over after we paid for the truck. So we're going to have to give a little of that back, but it's all an estimation. We can't help that. I can't put enough equipment on it that won't hold anymore, so I can't buy anymore. I'm out of places to put equipment.
But that's coming. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that was done through your state legislature appropriations. I spent 9 days between the last week of January and the third week of February at the Capitol. Two of those days I was called and loaded up and left that morning. I got there in time for the meetings. These gentlemen were all there. Mr. Gainey was there. We beat the bushes. We were at the Capitol all day. We were at meetings all day. And this is why we're there, to get this money, to make these things happen and make this recovery happen. So my guys were very busy. We're all very busy. Y'all have reasons to be that way. We want to see our department better. We want to see it better for y'all, the county, and for these people here. We want to see the rest of the county better. So bear with us. We're trying. River flood recovered. I was advised, I have not seen the letter yet, but I was advised by the Bureau Chief of the Florida Department of Health, EMS Division, that we had received our state matching grant for an oxygen-producing machine to make oxygen. I'm hoping that was true. I've not seen the letter yet, but I'm sure it was. That will take a couple of $1,000s a month off of us that I have to pay for rentals of bottles and the cost of oxygen to pay out. We were paying out over $2,000 a month. Last year, I had Mr. Lemmerman go in and order the cylinders so we didn't have to rent them anymore, but we could not fill them. If we get this machine, we will be able to fill them, so now we will be saving quite a bit of money on rentals. So hopefully we're moving forward with that. Seawall we've covered. Buildings are ordered. Sent up front. Hurricane season June 1st. It's 35 days, 40 days from now. We'll be right back in this. The predictions are coming out. They're higher than normal. So we're hoping that they're wrong, but they're higher than normal. We've only gotten the one from Oklahoma College or whatever it is. The other, they're usually a little different, but they're comparable. It's coming. It's going to be a busy season. Community paramedicine billing, we talked about that. Mr. Hatch was very happy with that program. Y'all were gracious enough to give us some of the opioid money, and we've already started working through that and spending some of that. And we'll be applying that every year as much as y'all will give us every year towards that program. The meeting that I was at this week was in regards to the billing for that, because right now you can't bill for community paramedicine. We've enrolled Ms. Allison into a specialized program where we can do some different billing there, but it's a little complicated. I'm working on it. Next week I will be at a meeting at Cape Canaveral on the actual billing codes for community paramedicine. Hopefully that will be coming and we can actually start getting some revenue. If it continues and that program continues as it is, we are going to have to look at some help there. Right now, I was told by a young lady at the state 2 weeks ago that Allison Stevens, our community paramedicine person, has more documented calls than anybody in the state of Florida.
No doubt.
There were two programs in the state when Mr. Pendarvis brought this to me. One was in Manatee County, and where's Lauren out of?
Palm Beach County.
There were no rural agencies. We picked it up. We've had three different agencies come down and shadow her. Now this is a happening thing in the state. The state has just created an MIH person to manage community paramedicine. That position is open and advertised. They are preparing to interview for that. The state's moving forward with it. They're pushing it, and we're pushing it. And they know we are, and those folks are coming to our department to ride with Allison. They had Baker County brought over four people about a month ago. I just spoke to the young lady that's doing that for them now, and she said she wants to come back, and she had Bradford County with her. I think I got that back with Bradford and Baker. But either way, he wants to come in the next week or two and ride. There's departments calling us every day asking, how did y'all do this? Can you send us your policies, procedures, protocols? What are you doing? How are you doing it? It's a unique situation. Everything's different every day, but it's happening. Whatever we get a bill for it, we can make it happen even more. There are things, some other things with that I can't even talk about yet, but as I can, I'll be happy to let y'all know. Right now, I was told it was private from the state, so I have to keep it quiet. But we had the 3-year grant through the Anti-Drug Coalition to help us get it started that Chief Pendarvis then wrote, and that carried us through. Last year, we wound up with $50,000 from the state to help us because we were out of that grant. They gave it to all community paramedicines. Because nobody had any funding for it. I was assured by the young lady in Tallahassee that that wasn't coming this year, but I was also assured by her boss yesterday that they're working on another plan, so we'll see what happens. We're eating the rest of it out of our EMS budget, but I see the need for someone to help Miss Allison
in the office side of it, keeping up with the records and the meetings and the reporting and things of that sort that she has difficulty with because she's seeing patients every day. So I'm evaluating when and where. I don't know when that time will come. If I find the right person, I may come to y'all and look at it, but I've got to get that budgeted first and make sure we're good there. So bear with us. We're trying. The last thing that I have, I come to y'all about a year and a half ago with our FQHC issue. That's Federally Qualified Health Care. What that is the federal government gives money to counties, rural counties that don't have care, and some are rural, for citizens that don't have insurance, low income, poor health, that can't provide for themselves. And they provide that to those clinics, generally a clinic, depending on how big you are, we only have one. They give you that money or give them that money so they can provide care. That's comprehensive medical care. That means they have a doctor, they have a dentist, they have an OBGYN, they have all the x-rays and everything else that you need to get done there, any specialties that you need, they are supposed to provide that. The company that has that contract right now is not able to provide all of those things, and they're referring a lot of those patients out of the county, and they're referring them north towards Tallahassee and Perry, which is cumbersome for our citizens. Most everybody in here, if I ask, would raise their hand and say their doctors were in Gainesville or either Palms Medical, and they're sending them the other way, and it becomes another cumbersome burden on that citizen. It just doesn't work. And I have fought this for 2 years trying to figure out how. It's a big secret, apparently, because it's federal money. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants you to know. I did find out about 8 months ago there was a board, but the person on the board has yet to give me any information on it. This week, while I was in Orlando, I met Miss FQHC. She flew from Baltimore to Tallahassee to Orlando, and she's headed back to her home base in Tallahassee. And she assured me that she and I could fix our FQHC problem. Call me next month and let's set a meeting in Tallahassee, and we will figure out what to do. So I don't know what that means, but I think it means something's fixing to happen. I know Palms has requested to come over. They could not afford to without that funding. I don't know what other doctor's offices are interested. I don't care as long as they provide comprehensive medical care. These people sitting here, I have to drive to Chiefland to see my doctor and Gainesville to see my other doctor. So there's no reason we can't have it here,
right,
especially if the federal government's pouring money in this community to make it happen.
That's right.
And if the company doing it wants to do it, I'm good with that as long as it works. It does. I have no dog in that hunt. I want the people to get service, and that will take some of the load off of my crews. But we're transporting sore toes and headaches to Gainesville. It's 56 miles, 3 hours on the wall. They don't have a bed. They put you in the waiting room just like you drove over there. And a day and a half later, you finally get home with some aspirin that costs you $12 a piece or $112 a piece.
Yeah.
So we're working on that, gentlemen. A lot of this I do behind the scenes. I try not to get too loud with some of that, but I figured y'all needed an update on that. The young lady in Tallahassee that was there last week told me that lady could fix our problem, and she said she's here, and you will meet her. And about 3 hours later, we had lunch with her. So we're moving on. So hopefully that will give you a little encouragement that some light is there and the tunnel's getting closer. So, any questions, gentlemen?
We got a couple.
Yes, sir. I
appreciate everything y'all doing. One thing is the First District Community Building, we have a station right next door to it that was built prior to the one being 351. What are we doing on getting that one some supplies in that station?
Currently, that station is one of our volunteer stations. It only holds our fire trucks. There are only two members left up there. We call him Porkchop, Michael Sprawley, and Mr. John Peck. John works at the post office in Gainesville. He works 12 to 14 hours a day, 9 days a week. And Porkchop drives a semi for Old Castle, and he's gone every day. Mm. They are not able to come to call us. Those trucks are sitting there. My crews go check them. Hopes if we can get this put together and get this building built adequately, that we can combine all that into one facility, cut down on some of those usages like we did with the Old Town situation, and get all those trucks undercover so those paid guys over there can keep them checked and stuff, and then they can still get to their apparatus, and perhaps even give y'all another building there with the community center. That's my hopes.
That'd be nice.
Mr. Stevenson, I didn't want to push that, because those guys have been dedicated for many, many years up there, and I've just tried to just be patient with that.
I just know that, you know, the building and with the funding and stuff, there's some stuff for repairs that need to be done to that. And
yeah, I think
if
that,
possible, and I mean, I'd like to see us try to keep volunteers up there.
Well, right? We're not getting rid of the volunteers. We're just going to move them into a brand new station.
I got you.
And then that's one less building we have to keep up with. And when they're not available, my guys are there every day to keep checks on.
Okay.
So that's the same thing we done in Old Town. And we still have trucks sitting there that our volunteers go get every day. But we moved them into a better building. And that's what my overall goal was. But as long as they were active, I didn't want to mess with that. We actually done quite a bit of work back in 2012, 13, and 14. We had it staffed with the original Fire Act grant that we got, the SAFER grant. There were two guys in that every day until we had to close that down and do away with those staff because we could not get the money to keep them here. So there was quite a bit of work done there then. It was remodeled. The spiders are terrible. They eat two bug men. We haven't seen them since. So we've tried. But, you know, my overall goal is to kind of reduce the footprint that we have and get it all into one area. And that will help in a lot of ways. And then perhaps it might be something the county wants with the community center being there to do something else with. But I'm not quite prepared to do that yet. So if there are issues that I can find, we'll definitely try to work on. I know the signs in disrepair. We've been working on some signage, but we're waiting on the station numbers to see where we're at. And I actually instructed Chief Garner last week or even week before last to start movement on those signs and get it ordered and get them up as we need to. So I hope that answers your question, but that's kind of where we're at.
The other thing is Horseshoe Beach. Leon can probably help us with some of that, but I attended a meeting down there because I do have a piece of property in Horseshoe, and they're trying to get the flood numbers things down where you can get flood insurance. Actually, my insurance company notified me that if I didn't buy flood insurance, I could no longer get the wind and, the other fire damage if I don't get the flood. Looking at that number, I'm like $13,000 a year to insure that home. And it still tickles me when I think about it. They opted out, like on my place, because of there's a flood, but actually wind drives the water to flood the place. But nevertheless, Jeff down there, I held my tongue. Leon was there. Everything that come up, we are doing nothing up here. They're doing everything, and we were getting the funding for them down there.
Mr. Commissioner,
but
we got
I've never seen him in a meeting, but someone needs to educate the people down. I tried to, but he's running us in the dirt.
I'm going to try to be as polite and professional as I can here. And I don't want to say anything negative, and I don't want to disrespect you.
Well, I didn't either, but I mean, there's a lot of things that he was bringing up. Like the thing that you brought up about how you're doing stuff, structuring some of those projects to try to keep that number under a certain amount so it moves faster through the channels to get that funding to get those bathhouses or different things redone.
At the end of the day, the town of Cross City, the town of Horseshoe Beach, are municipalities within Dixie County that have a governing board and authority, statutory guidelines that they have to abide by. In my world, some of those are they have to provide fire and EMS coverage. Now, they can build a fire department like the town of Cross City did. They can do like Horseshoe Beach done, and they can contract with us. There are statutory guidelines. That is their problem in both of those entities. We have, and this is where I'm going to try to be very polite. I don't want anybody to take this wrong. We have always in the past tried to work very closely with both of those entities to assist them with anything they needed. They needed things during a storm. There is a process, there's a computer system through the state of Florida emergency management system that you put that in with whatever entity, school board, all of those entities are able to claim for themselves. But we have always, anything they needed, if they brought it to us, we have put it in and helped them process that. During this event, for a lot of reasons, that did not occur with the town of Horseshoe Beach. A lot of things were done that we had no idea were done. Until we got cussed out by a senator or a representative as to why we didn't get it done. We didn't know it was needed. Because they were going around our office and we begged them on numerous times to please come and let us know. Some of you have been witness to that, and I'm trying to be very nice. It has created us a tremendous amount of turmoil and headache. After that part of it, they decided to hire a contract company, which is a great thing. That is their decision to do. And at that point, they are the responsible party for this part of what we're doing. Inside Horseshoe Beach, we have the boat ramps. Both boat ramps belong to the county, Highway 351 and a couple of roads. Everything else belongs to Horseshoe Beach. I may have missed a couple of
I think things. We have a park there, too, I believe.
Well, that's when I said boat ramps, that's what I meant, the park and the
boat. We've got one there that's on the hill.
So those are our duty to fix. Those are on this list. That money is on its way, as best I can tell.
Right. I tried to assure them of that when I was there.
Yes, sir. And, you know, we, y'all, everyone here is bound by that municipality guideline. They have a city council, city mayor, city attorney, and they have to conduct business just like you do. Now, we've always worked with them as much as we would be allowed. We've done the same thing with Mr. Driggers this year with the town of Cross City. Swanee Water and Sewer is another entity. School board is another entity. They are their own entity, just like the county is. And they can submit on their own, and they can manage their own, or they can get us to help them with it. And we'll do either one they want to do. But I, as the director, can't step in and say, we're going to take over your community. And you, as the board, can't. I mean, maybe you might can. I don't know. That would be Ms. Chaney to figure out. But I don't want to be in it when you do things. So we are trying to do everything that we can to help any way we can down there with anything that we know is needed. But I'll tell you what I do not want to do as the representative for this county, for you, the Board of County Commission. I do not want to stick my nose into any project that has been started and is moving without my knowledge of what occurred and wind up 5 to 7 years from now having the Board of County Commission having to pay back $10 million for something that was not processed properly. And I'm not saying whether it might have been us or them or whomever else. But when I have to step in the middle of a project, it's complicated. And I'm trying to keep us out of that situation, but we're also trying to help them any way we can. We had a meeting with the state the other day for the mitigation money. They were invited, and they came up, and they brought their contractors up, and they had questions, and they had projects, and those were the projects that were viable projects are on our list to be turned in right along with the rest. But we have been told that their contractor is going to submit them, so we can't touch that. They will have to have a letter from us, from the planning, not the planning council, but the, what's the name of it? It went blank. Got some Savannah. There's a ranking for the projects that we want to get done. I can't remember the name of it.
LMS,
yes. He is the chair. We will have to provide them a letter saying, yes, we agree with that as long as the project is viable. But I will tell you that a couple of the projects that I've seen on their list was to rebuild your county park. It's not their county park, gentlemen. And the state told them that, and they were not happy about that. But at the end of the day, their contractor was trying to rebuild your county park and get quite a bit of money to rebuild your county parks and your county roads. And the state was pretty clear to them that they couldn't, but the projects that they did have, we are more than happy to move them, give them a letter, as long as the money's there. You have to keep in mind, there's only, I think, $10 million in this pot of money for Dixie County right now, possibility of some extension. The county's going to have projects as well. We've already discussed some of them. So it's going to have to be divided equally. We can't give all of our money to the town of Cross City. We can't give it all to Swanee Water and Sewer. Can't give it all to Horseshoe. And we can't give it all to the county. We have to try to be fair and equal with that. I know that the town of Cross City has requested some generators for their lift stations. Those things are in there. And Chief Garner's been working with the city manager on that. The town of Horseshoe Beach was at the meeting the other day. We have their projects that they're looking at submitting. But again, they are submitting theirs. We've been told that they are going to do their own submittals by both them and the state. So we can't get our hands in that because that is the company they've hired to do that. No different than if y'all had hired someone or if y'all got us doing it and all of a sudden Mr. Bailey comes in and says he's going to start submitting projects, y'all going to tell him to pound sand probably. So that's kind of where we are. I hope I have answered your question, and I hope no one is offended by that, but the facts are what they are. And with this storm, He received calls. I left the office one night at 9:45 to go home and finally try to get a shower after about 4 days, and was told when I got to my mother's turnoff 2 blocks from the office that the representative had just walked in the office and wanted to see me. And he wanted to see me about the stuff going on in Horseshoe Beach that nobody in my office had a clue about. And after I lost my cool with him, he understood that we didn't know. We both apologized in the parking lot, and we've got a couple of fire station fire trucks after the fact, so I guess we're over that. But it put us in a really bad place. And I don't know the reasons, and I don't care the reasons. But it puts y'all in a bad place, and it's still not over. There's still things there. I don't know how well they're doing with the recovery side. All I can tell you is what I told you at the last meeting. I was told by our FEMA reps that Dixie County is one of the only counties right now that is moving forward. A lot of the others are bogged down. Some of them have more projects than us. They're more complicated. I don't know the reasons, but our stuff is moving. And that's what we want. We want to keep it moving. I don't want anything to slow it down. If there's anything that is need out there, just like we told you, please let us know. We don't know everything. I mean, you've seen the list of different projects. I don't have just the hurricane. I've got fires. I've got rivers. I've got EMS. I've got fair medicine. I've got maintenance. I want a maintenance building. If y'all know where I can get $3 million, how much, Greg? $3 million for a maintenance building? For me? I need a maintenance building. Tell me. If there's things that y'all know that are needed, we have to know that. Pass it on to us if you want, or Mr. Ganey, and y'all sit down with him and come up with a plan. We'll apply and do anything we can if it's available. If we haven't passed whatever timeline it is, we will put in for it. If we have, we'll look for something else. But we have to know, Joe. If y'all see something that you need attention to, just like the seawalls, Mr. Hatch, we've been talking about seawalls for a while. It never crossed my mind about mitigation money until just not long ago, and we all kind of come to that conclusion, like, crap, that's a good way to do that. So, and that's what the LMS is for, too. It gives you that ranking. And like I told one commissioner today, that's not a dead set list. We've got 25, 50 projects on there. That's a list of things the county wants to see done. And if number 25 is on that list, and all of a sudden we find the $10 million to do number 25, Chief Garner picks up the phone, calls the state, says, modify my LMS list. Number 25 just went to number one, and send the money. It's just that easy, ladies and gentlemen. We do have to actually have a meeting. But it's just pretty much that easy. That's not a, this is the last thing on the list. It is the last thing on the list, but this afternoon it can be the first thing on the list. And all that does is gives us a ranking. It helps us with the money, and kind of gives us something to work towards. And that's for the cities, the county, and everybody. So we hold those meetings at least annually. We held that meeting about a half ago. Some entities will show up and some don't. And if they don't, we try to contact them and say, is there anything else? I know at this last particular meeting, the sheriff came, and he told us he didn't have any projects at that time. And, you know, I think he did have a couple of things on the list, his generator and stuff that we're already working through. But that's how that process works. But, you know, I hope I've answered your question, Mr. Stevens. We're trying to work with that as well as we can. There's a lot of complications there, and it's not just...
I know they are.
Anywhere. Please don't take it that way. I just want you to have an
answer. I just heard it that... There's a lot of complications, and if you remember, we ran into them in Tallahassee because some of the monies we were asking for, we've already sent it to them, and they ain't done nothing with it. But
I had a well-known citizen that lives within that community call me while I was in Tallahassee and said, can you please fix my problem? And I had to tell that young lady that I could not. It's not my jurisdiction to fix. That's like y'all trying to go to Alachua County or Lafayette County and rebuild their roads. They're going to run you out of town. She asked what the solution was, and I said, because she was expressing dislike and her dislike, but unhappiness with the situation going on. And I told her, I said, you as a community have to vote and fix and do. And you know, it's outside of my hands. I can't fix that. But I assure you, if anything comes, we're all going to help with it. But our hands are tied because of one, they're a municipality, and two, they have a contracted group to handle that for them, so we can't wade into it.
The main issue that I was wanting to try to get clarified is on our parks and our boat ramps that the county owns.
We were working
he was putting it out there that we was holding it back from stuff getting done, which we are not.
You have a list, sir. There. Seem to work faster.
I didn't get in real heavy with it because I left out of it because I was...
Well,
it was not...
You're good with
not very pleasant. What he was throwing out there was But anyhow, if you can, anything to help us with that, I appreciate it.
Yes, we're trying our best. Your projects that belong to you and that community, unless there's something there that I don't know about, are being worked on. And you have a list in front of you of the amounts that FEMA's proposing to give us. And
I told them that under no uncertain terms. I didn't get rude with it, but it's in the pipe and it's getting worked on. We ain't, as Mark said, we wasn't kicking the can.
No, I didn't say that. Jamie did.
Mr. Mark's got something.
Yes, sir.
Darren, I just don't want Swanee to be lost up in the firehouse thing. I've heard everybody's name to the firehouse because we have one down there. Don't go in depth. Just don't lose it. Don't lose sight of it.
If you will, Swanee and Gina are actually our two nicest fire stations.
Yeah.
Gina was built, well, let's start back at Swanee. Swanee was one of the two built in the 90s, but it is a very nice two-story station. It's never been staffed. We actually just went in after the hurricane. Chief Ferguson, we signed crews down there, and he was very embarrassed when he showed up how unclean the station was and unkept. He went down and done some remodeling, cleaning, and provided some furniture in case we have to do that again. But it is actually one of our nicest stations. It's a three-bay station, full station with living quarters, bedrooms upstairs and downstairs, two offices, two bathrooms, full kitchen. That is a very nice station. It's actually getting a little more work done because I think the supervisor of the election is using that still, Mr. Gaines.
Yes, sir.
So they are occupying that right now for the election processes. The Gina station was a frame that Mr. Reed had built before I was hired in 2005. And one of the things that he tasked me with before he left was to finish the interior. They had built the bays and closed them in, but the living area was a sand bed when you opened the door inside the hull. He left shortly after that, and Mr. Martin took over, and he and I discussed that, and we took the money that was allotted there, and we went in and we built an inside living area, and that station was finished, and it's a very nice station as well. We actually, during 2009, 10, 11, I forget exactly what year, we got staffed with Taylor County.
2010.
Yes, for these crews that you see, Chief Ferguson, Chief Bass, they were some of the firefighters down there. Chris Keene, who's a lieutenant for the EFR right now, City of Gainesville. Those guys staffed that station in conjunction with Taylor County until the hospital put an ambulance there and we were not running calls, so we had to disband that community, that common effort.
I remember.
We moved our guys to town and were able to get our first paid fire truck on, which has been a blessing. So two stations are the best two that we have. Yes, sir, one day they will need some upgrades, but right now, considering the populations and everything else, I think we're good for a bit longer. I will tell you that the Gina station, I think, may have told you a minute ago that it is currently in our five-year plan to staff. It was about 3 years down the road. I have seen Rocky Creek. I have seen the subdivisions. I know what's coming. I know what's there. I was in Taylor County when Yates Creek blew up. And it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Gina and Rocky Creek is fixing to be populated. It already is populated. You just can't see the rooftops yet because they have to cut the trees.
Yep.
So I actually spoke to the young lady in the back a minute ago and told her that we were working on that. She lives down there. They want service too.
Yep.
And we provide it. It takes a little while to get there. I had some conversation with a Department of Health, the number two man with the Department of Health EMS side about 3 months ago. And he expressed that Taylor County may be interested in looking at that joint deal again. I spoke to him the day before yesterday, and I told him that if he could speak to them again and they wanted to do that, I would be happy to sit down with the commissioners, county managers, find out what they want to do. I would let them know what it would cost me to staff that station. We still hold a certificate of need for the southern end of Taylor County so we can legally run calls in there. I don't do it because I would be impeding on their contract company that they have in there. That would be something the board would have to allow me to do. But there is some conversation about some effort there. But I can't go approach the Board of County Commission and say, I won't take your county. They have to come to me with that.
Yeah.
Those processes are there.
Yeah,
the two new ambulances that y'all allowed us to order last year was ordered for that purpose. We know we're going to need more trucks to be able to do this. This population is growing. Leon can tell you things are coming. He's already stood here and told you stuff is coming. I know of stuff. You've got a dollar store fixing to be in place on Eugene Curve that wasn't there a month and a half ago.
Yep.
It was oak trees a month and a half ago and the building's up. It's coming.
You know what to say then, don't you? You see a pile of dirt beside the road? Don't mess with it. dollar store hatched a couple of weeks.
What comes after them dollar stores is the rest of it. You can see it everywhere you go. So I hope that answers your question. They are our nicest stations, and we're trying our best to keep them up with trucks and trying our best to get them staffed. And we're trying to get there. I have not forgotten that, I promise you.
The other thing is, you mentioned that 5 mile radius in Horseshoes.
Yes, sir.
That same 5 mile radius goes for ISO ratings and all these others.
That
is the standard, and that is a savings in the taxpayer's insurance.
Hence the reason I don't want to move that station up there too far. Still doesn't cover everything. We can't put a station every 5 miles yet. One day you will have, but not today. They're $4 million a piece, and the staffing's $500,000 for about $750,000. But yes, ISO comes in and evaluates us, and if you live within 5 miles of a fire station and you have a water supply, you get a really good municipal water supply or a dry hydrant that's tested, you get a really good insurance rate. If you don't, you don't get as good an insurance rate.
Yeah.
There's no guarantees. I got a letter just last week saying my fire insurance is canceled because the company's no longer working in Florida. I have to find insurance, too. because of wind. They were packing up, but I'm sure it was ultimately because of the hurricane. But yes, sir, those 5 mile radiuses are big, and our stations actually, when you look at the map, I have one, I've lost it probably, but I had the map with those drawn out, and our stations, even without the effort and thought, were actually laid out very well to cover that. This new station going in off of Chaffetz will pick up some slack in the old town hammock area, but again, you have to be within 5 miles, and you have to have water. Still get a better rating if you're within 5 miles, but if you don't have a fire hydrant within 1,000 feet, it still hurts you. So, with that being said, I would like to encourage the board to start looking at the possibility of some grants to put in water and sewer in Ocean.
Way ahead of you.
But I know you are. I just wanted to throw it out there. I've probably been too long, gentlemen. Y'all got anything else?
Yep. Yes, my turn now.
As long as it's y'all's turn and I'm not doing it, I'm good with it. I'll be here all night.
I want to thank you, Mr. Brown, and your staff for hours and hours and hours. I've watched you come in off of one job, like you say, hardly wipe the sweat off your face, get another call back and forth, and you care enough about this county and love this county enough to working on getting the money to help make this county better. Just like you said, the five of us, we went up there. You was up there. You and your staff was probably up there more than us five. I know that. I want to thank you for pushing so hard and your employees. I know we don't tell you that enough, but I'm telling you that now.
I appreciate it, but it's not me. The staff members.
It's all of y'all.
In South Florida the other day with South, and I was throwing her name out there, and she didn't know I was sitting in the back of the room, and her comment was to the board and everybody else there that I have one of the most demanding bosses in the state of Florida. And we had some fun with that one when she found out I was in the room. Anyway, I'm hard on them. I push them. They're better for it. I don't have much longer to push them. So see how it goes. We're
going to
do everything we can.
Thank them.
They didn't work.
Anything
else,
gentlemen?
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
I got one thing I want to ask before you leave. I want to thank you and this board and Barbie staff and everything. This board right here needs to get a nickname of the State Emergency Board. State of Emergency Board. We came in there, a lot of us came in here. We had no money. We fought that battle. Got into a flood that we're still dealing with. Y'all with us, everybody working. A hurricane. We just started off this year with a winter storm, and we get rivers flood, so it looks like we're going to be in a state of emergency again. And through all of that, guys, this board, not just one person bringing up the issue, we've done a lot of good for this county and passed a lot of stuff. So even with all that diversity, I know I didn't get a lot of the stuff in my bucket list done, but we did do a lot and had a lot going on, and everybody pulled together and tried to help these citizens. And I wholeheartedly thank all of y'all.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody.
Very much. Anything else?
That's it.
Can't stand
Mr. Scott?
I don't have anything like that.
Thank you, too, Mr. Scott. Ms. Kay?
I
Just three quick things. I went to Monticello today to a National North Florida meeting, which is the 14 area counties that work together. I was very pleased to find out they had one of their interns do a Facebook insight report. I don't know how or why these things happen. But there was one post about Dixie County, and it received 231,000 reaches, people looking at it. It was shared 209 times, 115 comments, and 1,800 likes on it. The next closest one to that of any of the counties, including Alachua County, was Gilchrist, Blue Springs, which had 48,000 reaches. So for some reason or another, people are noticing. They were very excited about it, and so I was excited that that came about. I want to make sure everybody knows, I'll be the first one to remind everybody about the centennial event on Saturday morning. Parade starts at 10:30 and be going all day there. And then on May 4th, we have the Cowboy Country Festival, which is over at at the Cracker Rock Winery area. Hopefully y'all can come to
this
stuff too. Anything else?
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
Like you do. There is some shirts, hats, and coins in my office if anyone is looking to purchase them. I know we put some flyers out. We do have a few in the office that we're selling for the city.
I do have one more thing. Sorry. At this meeting also, the representative from Visit Florida was there, who was in charge of the videos. I talked to her about the people that are in these videos signing off. She said anything that we get from Visit Florida, we're assured it's all covered. However, because I was there when the gentlemen were doing the videos, they didn't make us sign anything, so we're still going to. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gail's not here. Ms. Holly's not here. Ms. Angie's not here. Mr. Paul.
Manager's report. We'll start off with action item number one, a request for improvement to execute the fiscal year 2024-2025 Small County Consolidation Waste Grant to Dixie County in the amount of $19,750.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye.
For the next three items, just procedural items that we'll have to go through regarding the non-discrimination and the ADA compliance requirements that the county has. So, number two, we request board approval of the Title VI plan and resolution 2024-29 in support of the Title VI plan. This is updated every 3 years and posted to the county website.
Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Number three is to request board approval of the Title VI non-discrimination insurance. This is also updated every
time. Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye.
And number four is to request board approval of the transition plan, section 504-88 compliance.
Motion.
Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Aye.
We request board approval to execute the contract between Dixie County and the Taylor County Research Team in the amount of $8,800.
We've got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye.
Number six, we request board approval for the ship rehab reimbursement for Jolene Fuller in the amount of $24,906.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
For the action items, I have a few informational items. Some of them are going to be repetitive, but I just want to make sure that we're all clear on it. First of all, the reminder for the groundbreaking ceremony for the Old Town Fire Station on Monday, April 29th at 10:30. Also a reminder for the South City Centennial Parade that begins at 10:30. For any of those commissioners that want to participate in that, please be at the manager's office at 9:30, and bring the appropriate candy that you guys would like to throw out. I'd also like to remind you that tomorrow we will have a bid opening for the dump truck that we'll be purchasing with the ARPA money to go along with the excavator and the trailer to keep up with the canal maintenance. Also, we'll have the bid opening for the grant services at 3 p.m. on Thursday, May the 2nd, here at the board office. Chief Brown has updated you on the river level situation. And then number six on informational items, I have been in contact with a citizen, Mr. Todd Beggy, who has interest in leasing the property. They're behind the Dixie Horsemen's Association between there and what used to be Cross City Veneer. He has interest in putting a lumber remanufacturing and a pallet building operation there, so I need to see if the board is interested in allowing that to happen, and if it doesn't, we will get with our attorney and come up with some terms and conditions regarding that. And I just, Ms. Martha handed you a little map of the area that we're referring to.
Currently, what are we using that for?
Nothing now, sir. Cross City Veneer had that lease when they were in operation. They have recently sold out, so the buyer that purchased that property from Cross City Veneer has no interest in using that area. And myself and Ms. Chania has looked back at the lease agreement and had a letter signed by the previous leasee that they no longer have any interest in that property, so it is available.
I say this, lease it.
Yeah.
Now, I know on our hangers and stuff, you have a list.
Ms. Martha maintains a list.
Okay. Do we need to make a list for this? Because I know Mr. Todd, there may be someone else that might be interested in it. Mr. Todd don't want to
write a refusal.
If I'm saying that. So do we need to have a motion to make that list and put him at the top of the list? He's the first one to contact.
If this board agrees to move forward to that, I think Mr. Beggy is ready to enter into negotiations for the terms of this agreement.
I'm moving forward.
The only person that has approached.
Okay.
Okay. I make a motion to move forward.
We got a motion. Mr. Stevenson to move forward. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Okay, so one question I have, Mrs. One of the things that will need to, part of the terms is going to be the price.
Gentlemen, I would recommend that we look at something that is a little bit competitive than what we have done in the past. And what we've done is we've got some leases out there that are
very nominal.
I will.
I know if I fix them, yes.
I may be looking at this wrong, but what he's talking about building this is a vacant piece of property. They're going to have to have some structures built. They're going to have to put in septic tanks. They're going to have to do all kinds of stuff. So I think he needs to get a little bit of break on it until he gets that
hey,
up and moving.
I agree.
Then we can tighten up on the taxes or whatever. But he's going to be creating jobs for this county. So anything we can do to help him to get that event happened, we need to move forward.
Yep.
I agree with that. The board's property, and I'm going to negotiate the terms based on your direction.
There you go. Well, how much of that, let's see, how much is that there? That's in the red.
The only thing on this.
There's like 10 acres there, sir, but he's going to be interested in about that all out of the red area.
Okay.
6.3 acres.
Okay.
Because the Dixie Horsemen's Association,
the other.
Whenever they have events, they utilize that other park for parking, and then we would just give him, you know, access across that parking area to the 6.3 acres that he's interested in.
Okay.
Is that a question?
Yep.
All right. Do we need to decide on a price to start him off with?
We need some direction on being able to
negotiate. What's what's the prices on some of our other stuff?
I can tell you that City Veneer, when they had their lease, they were at $157 a month. We have the Nature Source wood products that's just past the BAD. They pay $3,600 a year. Mr. Randy King is leasing that piece of property that is undeveloped. They're on the corner at, I think it's like $580 a year. So that just gives you some ideas of what some of our current
properties. I say, this is what I say, see what he wants to do. He's got the first right of refusal on the property. Put a plan together, and let's quit speculating, honestly, because that's all we're doing, right?
He's going to ask what, you know, what's the lease going to cost.
Well, we don't know, Todd. We don't know.
I'm going to reiterate what I said before, guys. He's increasing the value of the piece of county property. He's going to put infrastructure and stuff in there to get this thing up and running. He's going to be increasing the value of our property. We need to help him get that off the ground. Then we start charging some fees. A lot of these other counties, that's how they get industry in, and these other places that does, like Family Dollar, where they bring the semis in, reload them, and go back out. They give them free taxes and stuff for so long to get that there, get it established, then we start taxing.
I'm just asking for a...
But I'm just trying, I'm to reiterate that to this board, we need to help him hard if we can.
Are you saying, Mr. Stevenson, say for 1 year, let him get on his feet?
And get then, on his feet, and then we will...
Then we'll discuss the price.
Me. If he's bringing jobs, and he's going to build structures, and do his due diligence through Leon's office, and... Yeah.
So if I'm understanding you, then the first year, the lease rate can allow him to...
Get on his feet.
Do that, and then at the first year, we'll come back and evaluate a beat.
I have a question.
I'm pretty
because the board is liable for that piece of property.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there be some kind of insurance thing there?
He'd go out there.
That would definitely...
That'll be a chain of areas, but everything has to go through Leon. It's going to have to be built to
stand
it.
You've
got to have an insurance policy. We're
just speaking on the lease fee. There will be insurance requirements, liability, and all of that.
Yeah.
I was just asking for directions for just the
lease per acre.
It's going to be a one-year...
Wait, I'm hearing this from a legal standpoint. We're going to do
a one-year lease with... zero monthly rent.
But he's also going to provide all the standards.
Upon negotiation for,
you know, a longer length of term. But the first year
is going to be a separate
lease for a basically no cost. He would have to maintain his insurance and everything. That
I would absolutely not
be negotiable
on as far as from the county advising y'all what to do. I would.
Because we did
not want anyone on county property without insurance.
Once these terms are negotiated, we would bring this contract back to the board for final approval.
I don't think that we should waive fees like that. I don't.
Board direction.
That's why I said go give him some numbers, some ideas, because if you build of anything he does out there is going to be a county improvement, which is attached to that piece of land, and it becomes county property from that point forward. But until you start seeing some stuff like that, you can't go waiving fees. I mean, what was it before? $150
a month?
Yeah, so that's a hell of a starting point. Yeah. When you start getting structures put up there.
That was 2005 or
2007, and it was increasing by
the
consumer index on a yearly basis.
But still, to me, and whenever you start building stuff, then you can start taking that money off of your lease for X amount of years. But you can't just go there and waive fees and say, hey, it's yours for a year, because honestly, I'm sick and tired of seeing some of that property out there tied up for 100 years, and we can't use it at all because we've tied it up and there's no movement on it.
I can
carry you to a piece of property right now. You just called the name of it that we should pull that property back. If there's no movement on that property in X amount of time, that should revert back to the county. They null and void their lease because they're not doing what they said they were going to do.
Any business starting out is going to have to pay a rent or lease something. So
I ain't saying go there and break the bank, but you can't give it away.
I'm not asking for a giveaway. I'm just asking to help them get it started.
I mean, it can be structured to do just what you said. You can draw up the contract, and he has to start processing permits through Leon and moving forward. And if he does not, then he has to pay certain fees per month. But if he's bringing jobs and stuff into this county, we've been begging and begging for it. Let's help him get it done.
And I agree with that statement 100%.
I'll just get with Mr. Peggy in between... Myself and him and Ms. Chana will
come up with something and present it to us.
Make
it happen.
And come up to your office and maybe next meeting we can all agree on a cost and we'll go from there.
So, you done with that?
Yes, sir.
So, next thing is, I just want to let the board know that the annual Florida Association of Counties conference is coming up in the last week of June. June 21st to the 28th in Orlando. I'll be going to start thinking about if you are wanting to attend.
I'm going.
Ms. Martha know as soon as possible so we start the registration.
I definitely want to attend because when I went down there, well, some of that stuff, I learned a lot every time I got sitting in those classes on how to get more funding for the people here and different avenues to go after stuff. It's been very...
Very
educational.
So each of you just reach out to Ms. Martha in the coming days and let her know for sure.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, we're all going.
Okay. There you go.
And I also plan on going, gentlemen.
Okay.
I had it on my list to cover, so we can take care of it
while we're here. The only thing I want to add to that is that any way we can get a recording, because there's a couple of classes that me and Jamie actually requested a recording of that stuff because we could not... retain all of it. I'd like to have some of that recording because they have some stuff that slipped through us. We couldn't figure out how to actually do that. We could have done some great things, but we couldn't get.
Recording the classes, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, some of that
I'm
stuff.
Pretty sure
yeah.
They do
okay,
all of that
I'm good
as
about
part of the program.
Recording on some of that class on some of that, how it was, because there was a couple of them that me and you said I went and requested to try to get some literature.
Yeah, ask Becky if she can record it.
Because you get so much information, you can't retain it all.
Okay, so next thing is I've been working trying to get some information on the Desert Storm monument that sits over here at the corner of the courthouse that was damaged several months ago. If any of you in this room can help try to come up with a photo, reach out to someone that may have something where we can try to figure out what that monument looked like so we can try to get it back as close to original state as possible.
Do we know who originally built it?
We don't. We reached out to Mr. Barber thinking that he was the one that produced it, and he was not. So we are reaching out to people that is listed on that monument that served the Desert Storm. We're going to send them out a separate photo during the dedication of it. And so far, I have no luck. So if anybody in this room can reach out to anybody they may know.
We don't got no record of who even placed it there.
No. Just showed up.
Wow.
We've talked to Mr. Steve. We've talked to the advocate. I've reached out to other people. And no luck so far. So anybody that can help maybe find a photo of that, I'd appreciate it.
Hey. Darren,
yes.
Yeah, well, Lisa, Mr. Jerry Prater, I have something on that.
Jerry Prater,
get with Lisa on that.
Okay, and the last thing I have, sir, or gentlemen, is we did advertise and hire for the assistant county manager position, and Mr. John Jenkins was hired for that position, and he started on Monday. And he's here with us, and we'd like to welcome him on board. He's going to help us out from this. And if you don't have anything else for me,
thank you, Mr. Paul. Well, how's the new man working out?
He's working out well so far. He's getting
well. He's excited, and I'm ready to work.
Martha's training him very well.
Don't do that. You kicked me one time already.
Ms. Chana?
Just a couple things, gentlemen. Mostly, some other information. We did have the business reach out about a resolution that was in 2007 in regards to a road that was closed
We did find, of course, the resolution, and we also found the county meeting minutes. This is dealing with a road which is called Beyond Street, which lies in Old Town between the Elon Salon, I think is the name of it, and what is now King's Tire. Mm-hmm. That road was officially closed and given back to the property owners on a meeting in July. It was July 7th of 2005. It was
given back.
The resolution was documented in 2007. Cannot explain the two-year gap there, but it was very clear in the resolution when the original was held, which was July the 7th, where it was dedicated back. Half of that road went to Anderson Columbia, who at that time owned Elon Salon.
And the other
half went back to Mr. Edward Shepherd and Ms. Joanne Shepherd, who had petitioned the board to close it in fee simple.
Now,
the issue
that has come up was brought to me
by an attorney
from Anderson Columbia. They said
they had talked to Mr. Lee, property appraiser Robbie,
and he said that the
resolution had not been recorded,
and that
Mr.
Lee
believes that the 2007, this doesn't read well, but anyway, did not include the strip of land when it was deeded over from the Shepherds to Anderson Columbia.
What happened after they closed the road, a short time at later, whenever, Anderson Columbia bought
out the Shepherd property.
So what I'm gathering from the attorney is that they are thinking that the half that went to the
Shepherds when they deeded
that property over did not
transfer with
their legal description. Again, have
no way of knowing whether that happened or
not. But that's what they believe has happened. So they wanted to know if we
had any interest in that property as far as they wanted a deed.
I told them, from
our standpoint,
this right here deeded it back to the Shepherds. So it
sounds like it may be a problem that they have to clear up through that. Now, of course, I will take direction from the board if we want to
take any kind
of official action and say, we don't
have
that whatever reason we'll give our part interest, which we don't have based on this,
to
Anderson Columbia. So, my position was I sent the attorney these documents and told him that as from the county standpoint, we didn't have a dog in the fight anymore.
Exactly right.
So it came about because you had AT&T trying to set some equipment and some poles in there. And just in conversation previously before in the past, I heard that that road was closed. They're the ones that brought that forward. And the lawyer's
now.
If y'all get any questions about that, I did want to educate you,
because I do recognize that there's a good possibility y'all will get some
questions on that. The other issue, which I've been hearing a lot about,
I think
a few of y'all might have also heard, and I did bring
a map,
or
let me rephrase that, a survey
that I'm going to pass
down
for y'all to look at. This is a
survey. This is the property that we were talking about.
It's Penner's property and
Owens that owns this property that is serviced by this road. Without this access, they would be
landlocked. The question was brought to me if this was a county road. When I reached out, there was no record at that
time
of this
being a county road. When they reached out to the property owner that the majority of this road goes across,
she said, I have a survey that shows that's a county road. So she did bring a copy of that survey in. This survey was done in January 21st of 1993.
Was done by
Herbie Raker.
And I believe it would have been senior at that time. There's no
designation on the name,
whether it's senior or junior, but
I'm sure we could look it up based on the number.
But
it
was done for a Miss Frances Knight.
This
survey indicates that this was an 18-foot
county maintained road. So
based on that, gentlemen, I would ask y'all to recognize this as a historical document.
I have no clue where this designation or how Mr. Raker determined this was a county road,
but in 1993,
I don't anticipate we're going to
find a whole lot of other documentation. And if we do, I don't know if it was designated a county road 5 years before that, 2 months before that, or 25 years before that.
But we do know since this survey designated it at that time, it appeared that they accepted it as a county road, and that is an issue because...
Is that road up to par?
It, we have, and you...
Well, look at my sheet. According to Hutch, he wasn't aware of any blocks or anything or any maintenance been going on since he's took over as county manager. Prior to that, it had been maintained.
The road... Thank you. Prior to that, there was, according to the county, we have put some rock on it.
And prior to that, according to the citizens that lived there, which was
Ronnie Penner's parents and everything,
they lived up in that same
house, who now
Will Penner's son's living
in, I believe.
So according to Mr. Penner, he recalls when
they come in there first putting the work on that, because I believe at that time maybe it was...
The reason I'm asking is they are needing some kind of official
documentation record because they're trying to sell some property, and without a clear easement to that property, then they're running into some issues with the lenders. Now, that being said, I have not personally spoken to Tiffany because
her mother was in a bad state about the time all of this came to my attention, and I did not reach out to her. My understanding is that
some
issues, and that, and Mr. Lee was one of the ones that she brought that in.
Mr. Lee, I did speak to him, and he said that Miss Hicks had said that she didn't have a problem with the road remaining open. She recognized it as a county road,
but she didn't want to give an easement.
So, gentlemen,
that's where I'm at. My understanding also, I believe it a year ago, the other property owners, you see that they're across the corner there. They were coming and asked us to close
that road so they could close
that road.
I believe that they were told it was a county road, and I can't verify that,
but I believe
that's what was told because they were wanting to
shut that corner off and it out.
And they tried to put up a fence. Mr. Leon, you may remember, I can't remember exactly how that came about.
And they were told
they could not touch.
So
that being said, if the board would
like to recognize that as a
historical
document officially,
I think
that I'm hoping we'll satisfy the underwriters. Because underwriters are the one that's trying to be satisfied. No one else has got an issue with it.
Well, that's all we got to do by it right there.
Motion to accept it.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to accept it. Second, Mr. Wood. In discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I guess, need y'all to approve to attend the conference on the county's dime with y'all.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Hatch, I mean, second, Mr. Osteen and Stevenson, all in favor.
And I appreciate that, gentlemen. That's all I got. So, you know, Darren took all my time tonight. We're going to...
He took everyone's time.
I understand you beat my record,
though. All right. Ms. Hickenbottom?
I just have a couple things. The money that we received for restoring our images, our documents, we didn't use it all, so we've got approximately $30,000 that needs to go back so that someone can use it before the deadline. And then, who's going to fight over it?
Motion to set the money back.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, set the money back. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor. Aye.
Okay, and then, mandatory as of July 1st. We have to the county, and we've received three different bids or quotes, and the one we want to go with is $16,000.
Motion to give the money back.
Yes,
I'm asking for $15,000,
and it will also include e-certify where they can do it online. And
you got motion, Mr. Hatch.
Now, you ain't going to be able to do that with ARPA money now.
No, we can't do it with ARPA money.
Yeah, no.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, to get approved money.
$15,000.
And second from Mr. Osteen.
Thank you.
Any discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now, Miss Brenda, do we have the $15,000 that y'all can?
The only thing really we gave you is a recap sheet. You guys can just look over it and see where we are.
Mr. Wood,
nothing. Just look forward to seeing everybody Saturday.
Hatch,
Miss Barber, you're using that money to scan documents and stuff, right?
Yes.
I know Leon had some stuff that was going on too. Can we look and see if that money that you gave back might be working his department? Can you check that out, Paul? Make sure.
We can, and then if we can make that happen, we can get approval and reallocate those funds over to there.
I'll check it out, because I know you had some stuff also that documents need to be scanned. Other than that, please come out to the 100-year centennial. Jody's going to be jumping a ramp on a motorcycle flying through there.
They say there's over 100 booths, so.
That's all I got.
Mr. Osteen?
Yes, I have a couple of things. First off, I want to thank you, Mr. John Lockwell, and Paul working on trying to get a boat ramp before the Cow Creek Bridge. Go ahead on that where our commercial fishermen and airboaters can utilize it. We should be starting on the walking trail at D-Track Monday or Tuesday. Tour with the Deese County kids that went over to the base this weekend. The Coast Guard base went over well. One didn't want to leave. He was trying to sign up right there. So that's all good. That's all I have.
I just got one thing on in reference to that comment that I made when I come in. I recently got bit by a dog and got a bad infection, and I was in a bad way, fellas. I didn't think I was going to make it. But the last 2 days, I have turned 180 degrees. The young lady made a mistake at the supervisor elections office. I put them up there, and I actually signed me up as running. Now, I took this document, this is a legal document, and I went around to Saturday, the county manager's office. I shook everybody up around here for a little bit. So, and I have laughed, and I'm feeling better now than I have in a long time. I think the good Lord done that to get me back on my feet, and I've had a great time with it. You should have seen Darby's face when I showed up at 7 o'clock and showed him my and handed him my paper. Jamie popped the light of his truck when I showed it to him.
Just to be clear, sir, you are not running.
I done fixed that.
Okay. Is that it?
But that's all I have. And I appreciate everybody here. Like I said, guys, this board has been through more turmoil than any board. I've watched my dad do this for 37 years. I have never seen state of emergency the whole time through. And through all that endeavor, we have made a lot of positive changes in this county. from where we started at almost 4 years ago. And there is money coming for those canals and the hammer to clean out those culverts. Mark can probably deliberate on that. They did get the task force got some more money. And a lot of that is going in there to get a lot of the culverts cleaned out. So we're still working on these projects now, along with these other things that we're all dealing with. So y'all all should tap yourself on the back a little bit. So y'all have really stood up, in my opinion. That's it.
I want to thank everyone. We had an awesome meeting. And come out and support. Yeah, well, y'all get a chance in a minute. Come out and support the 100-year city. I'm not going to be there. I've got other plans I had for the last 6 months. I had plans for. I knew about this. But y'all come out and support it.
I tried to get him on the motorcycle when he bailed.
Yeah, we got a lot of men and women that's been cleaning up. And they've been cleaning up for years. And I want to thank that group. And thank y'all for supporting that group. So we can clean up. I know Mr. Brown had his...
So I'm ready to go for the second round. Ms. Lisa said that she thinks that the American Legion done that. She's making phone calls now to verify. So
okay.
As soon as I find out.
Okay. Absolutely. Now.
I just like to briefly say that if the board needs anything that concerns Central Florida Electric Power Company between internet, trees, or whatever, the board is welcome to contact me. Mr. Denny, I have recently retired.
Can you have them on standby? Do you have something that can pick a motorcycle or a light wire?
but if you have any questions or anything that needs to be addressed or they need to...
But you're probably just as much of a public servant as you ever could imagine. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for what you've done through the years.
Appreciate it. If they've been good to me and so has Dixie County, I'm very thankful.
Well, thank you for everything.
I'll say this about you, sir, being in the business with the septic and electrical that we do. You have, every time I've called you, went above the board to help the people that I was trying to help and me get stuff done here in this county. And that means a lot.
You the same with us. We've all worked very well together. And it's, we didn't have Mr. Denny Village worried that I stepped away a few years back, but it's been a wonderful asset to the community, and they need to make it happen, a good transition, and care about the people.
You're leaving a big set of shoes to fill, sir.
Yeah. God, I'm still glad to be with
them a little bit. All right, I got a couple of sheets here. People want to speak. I got a Mr. Bob Ritter. Come on up.
Thank you. I'll try to make it brief because I know all these folks are and yourself are trying to get out of here and run away. In 3 minutes, I can't give you.
You just go ahead.
Again, my name is Bob Ritter.
my wife Linda, my son Kyle. We live in Old Town. We're down in District 1, down by the trading post in the river. We have a piece of commercial property in District 3, Mr. Hatch, up on U.S. Highway 19. We formed Ritter's Entertainment Group a little more than a year ago, and we have a project currently in development. We have a series of projects we want to do, but it's like dominoes. You got to get the first one to get the second one to get the third one. Yeah. So we currently have a project which we call the Oasis. It's going to be, we hope to be, a community swimming pool or a swim park. I've got a draft plan if anybody wants to see it. I got a concept picture. Picture an oasis. Palm trees, sand, water, poultry yards.
Sir, is that the place there off of Chafis?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, behind Little
Al.
There
we go.
Yeah.
That's Chafis.
That's
where
exactly where it's at, Mark.
Yeah, that's District 2.
That's you. It's
2?
Yeah,
well, three. I was told District 3. I apologize.
No, but so, I know what you're talking about. I've heard
District
rumors.
District 2. I apologize. So here we are in a nutshell. Make it real quick. We are in development. Mr. Leon and John at Building and Zoning have been extremely helpful to us from the very beginning. They're both aware of our project. John, good luck. I guess I got to see you no more.
Thank you, sir.
We've met with the Department of Transportation. We've been to the Suwannee River Water Management. We have a civil engineer. We've got a general contractor, yada, yada, yada. We got a 911 number. We have gotten our project up to engineering. We had hoped to have private personal funding to get us through it with engineering, but we don't. So what am I here for? I am here not looking money for direct from you all. But what I am looking for is guidance or assistance or support in finding money for construction. I got a business plan, which I would be happy to share. It outlines everything. We don't have $1.4 million sitting in the bank, and that's what our general contractor is telling us, is we're looking at about $1.4. We've used all of our private funding up to this point, and for about the last 6 months, we've been looking everywhere humanly possible we could go. Small Business Administration, Department of Agriculture. So we're looking for ideas. We're looking for some support and suggestions from the county. Is there a county economic grant or something we could get? Is there a state, rural development, whatever program? We're not aware of these things. And we're trying to get this off the ground because not only would it benefit the county, it would benefit every person in the county. For the county itself, increased property values, we create jobs, we bring people into the county. For our community, it basically gives the opportunity for wellness. People can come and swim. If you see our draft, we've got a basketball court. We've got beach volleyball. We've got cornhole. We had a lady on, the Dixie Word of Mouth Facebook. She heard of the project. She emailed us and wanted us to put in a playground for her kids. Okay, you're going to bring your kids to the park or whatever, that's fine. So we have a lot of traction on Facebook. We've had at least 50, 60 hits that I know of. For us, that was pretty big since we've done no advertising, really, except by word of mouth. So this is where we are, and this is why we're here tonight, is to ask for some assistance. I'm not asking for money for you to give it to me, but we're trying every way possible to find the funds to make this project work.
Okay, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Kay, do you know of anything on your end? Can you do some digging on your end for economic development or tourists through the tourist side? And Paul, can you get a meeting with him and Jeff Henry lined up and see if we got something there on North Florida Economic Development? So pass your number to Paul, pass your number to Ms. Kay, and
thank you.
Y'all get tied together.
Thank you. We appreciate it because my head is getting beat in on this one side.
Well, there's don't dive in the shallow end.
There you go.
Don't dive in the shallow end.
I didn't put it. We're actually, the one end is a walk-in, so I think that's the end that I would go in. So if you're interested to see the draft, you're more than welcome. We've got our survey. I've got business plans if you all would like to see them. We'll take any help we can get.
What is the estimated capacity of the park once y'all get off the road?
We're looking at probably any one time, probably around 300, 350 people at any one time.
On a park like that, don't y'all have to have an extensive staff as far as lifeguards and stuff like that?
Yes, we do. And actually, my son is getting ready to take the 2-week life-saving course so he can manage the lifeguards.
Oh,
yeah.
We're glad to help you any way we can.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be creating jobs also. We need in this area. And
absolutely. Yep. That's what we're trying to do. And, I mean, we've had real estate agents tell us, well, why don't you go down to Williston? Why don't you go down? You can do it. And I said, we don't want to go to Williston. We live here. We want to do it here.
Yeah, again.
Well, you can go to Bronson and you can get a 99-year lease and No, I don't want to go to Bronson.
Yeah. I've said it for a long time. Dixie County is a recreational paradise. You got rivers on both sides, the Gulf, the Maori Swamp hunting area up there. You can go bird hiking, bird watching. Anything outdoors you want to do can happen right here.
Fire hunting.
Well, I used to love to do that, Mark, but you can't do it no more because these cameras they got today hooked to the cell phones and they'll call you and say, was that you buying my tree stand?
And this is only, this project is phase one. We're looking at dominoes. Bowman Alley, we have plans. I've already been talking.
Are y'all going to be doing any housing there on that? Or
housing?
Yes.
He wants to do an apartment building, low-income, whatever apartment building.
All right. Because of the Florida Economic Council, there is some funding for low-income housing.
Yeah.
Available.
Well, we have other projects that we would like to do. A roller skating rink, mini golf course.
How much of that land do you own right there?
Pardon me?
What y'all cleared off there, how much do y'all own right there?
For the swim park or for the pool, it's 2 acres.
Mm-hmm. 300 people, 2 acres.
Yeah, it's pretty much open, except for a few buildings.
Do you own down past it with all these future endeavors? How far do you go down?
300 feet.
You just got that lot, right?
On the corner is the, what is that guy?
Her brother.
Owl land.
Her brother.
Okay, and then the next property in, we understood that there's a landscaping company further south on 19, bought the 1 acre next to us, and then we have the 2 acres, and we got 300 feet of frontage.
Yeah.
Chase us 592.
When you turn off of 19, go into your house right there.
Mm-hmm.
On 19, yes.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, it's right past the Straw Place. The Straw Place is not part of it. It's Straw Place and then another piece, and then their piece.
Right next to it.
So all right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. We appreciate the time and
thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Miss Mary.
I just wanted to say thank you.
That's it?
No, I had another question, but Mr. Brown took care of it.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you, Miss Mary.
Mr. Chairman, Miss Mary actually had a very good, clear close-up picture of that monster out there, so that's taken care of.
All right, good, good deal. Okay. Good deal. Does anybody else want to say something? Need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Start dipping in.
Not as well.
I didn't do it.